Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Buddy, you're listening to Mad Science, and that was Darth Vader in the background.
No, that was the shuttle taking off, man.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. I wonder what they're hauling up there now. Well, it looks like we got Muddy Muddy Mudman on here. We got Thomas, and we got my buddy Steve in there, too. So here you are listening to the Mad Science Show. So how you guys doing today? Anybody? Don't everybody jump the microphone at once. That wasn't a rhetorical question.
If you take your breath, Shizzies, I'll give it a try.
Okay. There you go. Yeah,
shut your cake hole.
Chip my tooth, Shizzies.
Oh, man. Well, we can make you one out wet. All right, guys.
You
well,
must be desperate for some ceramics then, buddy.
Yeah.
Wax. Candle wax.
Hey, now.
All right, well, anyway, there was a video I posted in there maybe about a day or so ago, I guess. It looked like maybe it was Thursday, October, whatever. It's one of those direct drive motors, the Fisher and Paykel direct drive motors that a guy's running with a Bedini circuit. That's a little interesting concept going on there, and I'm trying to get him on the show.
He doesn't have it set up for charging yet, though.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but it's a step forward. And so, I want to check out the circuit that he's got and then get back with everybody, and we'll try to get him on the show. But the second one down there is Laser Saber. He's had some crystal batteries that he's been running, and one of the little motors that he's had together on there has been running for 4 years. He's had a couple that ran for two.
Days.
What?
1,490 days.
All right. Well, now I got to remember what it was I was trying to remember to say before you said 1,490 days.
I will stop interrupting, I promise.
In 1842, what?
Give him some wax to chew on. Anyway, All right, look, regardless, he's got these crystal batteries that he's made out of magnesium and some sort of crystals. I'm not exactly sure what all the crystals are. Basically, I guess it's goes back to John Hutchinson's design, and they're pretty impressive little battery technology. And there's a lot of people doing research on them, but the key is he had those little easy spin motors that he does. He 3D prints these motors and winds his own coils and stuff, and makes these really super efficient motors that don't take a lot of energy to run. Now, keep in mind, we're not talking about a massive amount of torque. It's just the mere fact that you've kept this going for so long. And one of them, all he has on there is a continuous load for an LED, yet it's still running. And so, longevity-wise, it's already proven itself. And this is just off of a battery that's not being charged by the conventional sense. When that crystal is growing, it creates pressure in there on the magnesium and releases energy that is what he's running the deal off of. And so there are some potentials there. Now, he did show in this video where the pressure got to a certain extent that it literally ripped the side of the video, or not the side of the video, duh. Okay, now you can talk, buddy. It ripped the side of the container that the crystal cell was put in. And so, you know, it shows over time that, you'd have to figure out some method by which to, you know, change the casing every so often, or just add to the casing to keep it from ripping itself out, because those crystals are going to continue to grow. The other thing is he sawed this thing in half and showed that the magnesium in there, he barely used up any of the magnesium material after all that time. It still had plenty of material to run for, quite a substantial time after. Okay, in the last video that I put down there, was a revisit on my unsubscribed video, where in this video I show you a concept that I've been talking about, where you take a like an Olympic sized swimming pool, and you take and drain that down into a smaller swimming pool, and then down into a smaller swimming pool until you're all the way down into a bucket. Now, when you think of it in terms of electricity and capacitors, you've got a huge capacitor bank, which was the Olympic size swimming pool, and then you go down to a smaller one. As long as the largest one stays full at all times, every other load underneath there on all those capacitor banks will remain running and constant, so you don't have to worry about any of them shutting down in this process. All you have to do is keep dumping energy into the main bank, and as long as it never falls below 50% or less, then, you know, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Those loads will continue to run. Now, see, the reason why I'm bringing this back up again is because I was always talking about not putting all your eggs in one basket, such as you got a solar panel out there, you got a little wind turbine out there, you got earth battery, and now we're talking about the crystal batteries as well. There's multiple different ways, including radiant energy or picking up stray radio frequencies. All of these continuously dumping into the same bank. If you go and check out my Free Thinkers video, I'll give you a clue that that's got to do with the concept of what's going on there, is that it's bringing energy, different types of energy, in from all different directions and dumping it into a capacitor bank. If you check the date on the very first Free Thinker video that I did, and then the one right after that is whenever I showed it lit up. It has been lit up for since that very second video where I showed that it has been lit up, and it's running under its own power. And the key to this entire deal is that every single one of these batteries in that bank are what we would classify as a bad battery, a dead battery. Essentially, those batteries are being used as capacitors because one of them is like bone dry. But you got to keep in mind that even a bone dry battery still has the negative and positive plates in there. And the atmosphere itself is a dielectric. So as long as you can put the right type of energy in there, you can build up a static charge just like a regular capacitor and actually store energy in there. So, in that Free Thinker series, if you look closely, you'll see several different types of wind turbines, windmills, and when it gets windy out there and I get to do another video on there, I'm going to show that you'll have one windmill is turning it in the opposite direction as the other windmill on there, and there's several different styles of them, and each one of these styles will pick up at different speeds. They won't all come on just because the wind is blowing. They won't all come on at the same speed or the same time. The wind speed will have to get up to, like, say, 20, 30, 40 mile an hour wind or higher, whatever it takes. Like, you have a full-blown storm outside and everything's going. But either way, every time that blade just even remotely turns a little bit, it's dumping energy down into a capacitor bank, and that's the Olympic-sized swimming pool that I keep talking about. That big pool, as long as you keep that full enough that the smaller ones don't go dry, then you always have energy, or you know, in the pool, the water at all times, and all those systems down at the deal. And so, I'm seriously looking into this crystal battery set up so that I can also add that to the system as well, because that's pretty much the only thing that I don't have in there. I've got some thermal electrics going on. I've got some heat rises. There's a box in there that I did in the last video that when the sun beats down on it, it heats it up just like it would the inside of your car, and that heat rises through a hose and goes up and helps to keep that turbine going on there. So that turbine, when it's windy outside, it's going. When it's no wind at all, but it's hot outside, it's going. When the sun's beating down on the solar panels, they're charging. There's different solar panels for different processes in that deal. And so at all times, there's energy coming in from some direction, dumping down into that Olympic-sized swimming pool, the main capacitor bank. It has AC capacitors in there, and it has DC capacitors in there, because there is a controversy out there whether certain types of energies are actually AC energies or DC energies, or either or. So we'll cover both bases in that extent. So basically what you got going on right now that has been running for, I'm going to estimate, at least 3 to 4 months on its own, under its own, just using all the different things that are going on around it, it has maintained a steady load for all that time and is still up and running. And I'm going to continue to leave this running while adding to it any other systems that come about, and finally get up to the point where I have a secondary capacitor bank that when this secondary capacitor bank gets charged, it's going to pulse something really cool that I'm not telling you right now because I'm going to be putting it in a video. So, anyway, I need to take a breath. What do you guys think about all that so far?
Well, anybody? Thank you for breathing into this. Are we talking about lead crystal batteries, or is this a different form?
I think these are like quartz and magnesium, and there's something else I think they're adding in there. I'm pretty sure Laser Saber's got a video on how to make these crystal battery sets. And
you're talking about the copper clad magnesium core magnesium sulfite?
Yeah, that's probably what's going on.
Sulfate crystals?
Yeah, I think that's probably what's going on.
There's another guy that's been doing a lot better work probably than Laser Saber has because he focuses just on that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe he's got some of his ideas from this guy. The guy open sources everything he does, so he found that actually you can see there's some magnesium being used when they first start out. So the magnesium can't be too thin because there has to be some to donate to it until it gets going. Once it gets going, it doesn't continue taking any more.
Yeah, that's what Lance
said.
So
no foil. Yeah, no foil.
Somebody
don't use foil.
Transfer my last two posts in this chat over to she says radio chat. I got the link for lasersaber.com and it's showing three videos and how to build them. And all the stuff right there, I copied and pasted off that.
Well, say
One that I saw that the crystal guy did. I can dig around and find his link for you, but he was basically just using a magnesium rod with like a screw in it to hook up his wire to that in a copper cap, which you could probably use a piece of copper pipe if you want instead.
Yeah.
Slide that, you take sodium silicate and paint the inside of the entire thing, and then you push, he painted a bunch of sodium silicate on some cloth too, and then pushed that down in there, and then filled the whole thing up with the salt that he was Epsom salt crystals. That's magnesium sulfate. You can buy it at like Walmart, and then pushed the magnesium rod down into the core of that. After he coated it with more sodium silicate. Pushed the whole thing down in there. It was more or less to basically glue everything together. However, when sodium silicate gets wet, it immediately turns right back into a liquid again. So, it's basically quartz that sodium has bonded to make it soluble in water.
So, Laser Saber was using equal parts of potassium chloride, which is salt substitute.
Right.
Hydrated potassium aluminum sulfate, commonly known as alum. Sodium tetraborate, commonly known as 20-mutein borax. And magnesium sulfate, commonly known as Epsom salt for the crystal mix.
Cool.
Copper pipe cap for the whole deal there. And solid magnesium rod for the middle of it there.
Hey, did he heat any of that up?
I believe he did.
Okay, because that was the one thing the guy was saying, was that he tried that too, and it didn't work anywhere near as well as just making sure it was packed in good and tight with as raw crystals already.
Right.
So,
cool.
You know, I don't know. Something to look at for sure.
Well, the key to this whole deal, and I'd appreciate any links that you guys could post for everybody over there in Shaziz Mad Science over there on shazizradio.com/superchat.html for those of you who want to go check these links out. Or the Awake Radio chat room over there, and we'll pass them on to all the other networks as well. But the key to this whole deal, and the reason why, once again, that I brought up the unsubscribe video there is because if you watch that video, it only takes 9 volts to run that entire circuit. And that entire circuit has about 10 different units that take 9 volts each to run. And so if I could build a crystal battery bank that would run that doggone deal right there, tap it into a solar panel and wind generator, that thing would never shut off. I mean, it would just use what nature does and basically, you know, keep running. And we're not talking about voodoo technology such as what Keshi, I believe, is out there scamming people with. There's some guys out there doing some really amazing research in nanocoding and stuff like that. So part of what Keshi's talking about is plausible enough to basically give him the strength of his scam, I guess, would be the easiest thing.
Mixing a little truth with a lie to make the lie a lot more believable.
Yeah, but...
I would like to point out that that's allegedly scamming.
Well, yeah.
Come on, man. He's not Michael Jackson.
All right. Well, I'll go with your allegedly scamming. But as far as my personal opinion goes, and after listening to hours and hours of his babbling and watching all the scribbles on there, and hearing absolutely no scientific pointing towards the right stuff that. He's asking a lot of people for a lot of money in a lot of different directions. He gets paid really well to do these seminars, and he's got a lot of followers out there who follow him blindly no matter what he says. And he said some pretty stupid things, but hey, you know, who knows, man? We'll find out, and we'll give it some time and see, you know, if he proves, if he does what he says. I mean, you know, on one hand, he put himself out there. He basically told the whole world, hey, here's your free energy. Just give me some money and I'll give it to you or whatever and all this kind of stuff. But either way, one of the concerns that I have about this, first before I get into my concern about Keshi's design, is that I want to talk about Robert Murray Smith's work. Now, Robert Murray Smith is an amazing individual. Does some graphene technology. He's done paintable inks, conductive inks, and stuff like that. But they're also working on some really, really good capacitors with the potential to hold a lot of power. And so that technology combined with what Robert Murray Smith is doing, right? That technology. Supercapacitors that have a power, real good power potential, charge and discharge rate and stuff like that. That's more along the lines of what I think that Keshi should be doing. But the concern that I got for his is that he talks in his seminar about how you make this material and this GANS material. And you wind all these deals, you build your reactor, and then when you plug this thing, the device that they're selling on the market right now, you plug it into your wall at your house, all right? And he says, at first, you're not going to notice anything, and you have to have the right intentions as well. So you got to love your reactor and be a nice guy, or you don't get free electricity. Okay, well, moving right along, he said that the nanocoating that you have on the deal will eventually nanocoat all the wiring in your entire house, basically essentially turning your entire house into a superconductor, and then at some point you should be able to unplug this thing from the wall and your house would run by itself, as long as you have good intentions. If you're a jerk, then you your system won't work for you anymore.
And well, I didn't hear that part. I thought he said it would work. Yeah, I didn't hear about the good intentions only.
Oh yeah, you gotta be doing this for the right reason, you know, because there's spiritual stuff that is attached to how he explains and says the system works. You know, we're getting into his version of plasma and my version of plasma are like 750 trillion, quadrillion, bazillion, or whatever the highest number you can think about. Are completely different, that far apart. Because when I talk about plasma, the fourth state of matter, I talk about energizing an inert gas or a noble gas or whatever you want to call it, helium or halogen or neon or argon, energizing this gas into the plasma state, and you can actually see you get a visible light spectrum, and you actually produce some heat in the middle of the plasma, and so on and so forth. Now, his plasma Just go watch it if you can do it. If you can stomach watching it long enough, just check it out, and you'll understand what I'm saying after you listen to it for a while. But anyway, I wish the best for him. I hope he don't get himself in a lot of trouble by making people's houses a superconductor, and somebody gets a stray lightning strike and burns every house down in the neighborhood because the energy just wants to, That's one of the concerns I got on the deal. And he said at one point in his lecture that at some point you would be able to go to one of the outlets in your house and peel back the wiring on there, and you would notice that all the copper wire in your house is now black because it's nano-coated. And so basically turning your entire house into a superconductor. Don't seem very safe to me as far as I'm concerned. I wouldn't plug one in my house, but, to each his own. Make sure you got good fire insurance if you do. And so, with that said, that's where my skepticism on that portion of the deal goes. Now, as far as the nano coating itself, if that process works, that's something worthy of even on his side of the research deal looking into, because we know how the graphene technology has been pretty impressive as far as the work that it's been doing. And if people don't put all their eggs in one basket and do like what I'm talking about here, and I'm not talking about trying to sell anybody. There's other ones out there, other units out there that people are trying to sell. And a lot of alternative energy guys out there trying to make money off of these gizmos that they keep putting out there to the world. Now, if you look on my doggone YouTube channel, you'll see that it advertises about the search for free energy. And when I say free energy, I mean free. I mean, if I find a design that works, I'm going to point it out to you, and you can run with it. And I'm not going to try to ever sell you any device, nor am I ever going to ask you for a red cent. When I say free energy, I mean free financially, as far as you ain't paying me nothing for it. If you can use salvaged materials, which I point out all the time that, there's like the Fisher & Paykel washing machine motors. Those are really good stator motors. The X13 that Terry Woodruff has pointed out, those are really good motors there. And there's all kinds of other different pump motors, there's carousel motors in microwaves, and already ready-built generators. Even the hard drive motor, spun up to the right RPMs, will produce a lot of voltage. And that's one of the ways where I start getting myself in trouble, because I keep telling everybody I don't care about current watts and amps at this point. And there's a purpose for that. It's that I want the voltage, because the voltage is the high frequency. Voltage is pressure, and pressure is what actually does work. And so the work that I want at this stage in the game is to take any of those electric motors that I mentioned and spin them up as fast as you can get them to go at the highest RPMs as you can get them to go without them flying apart, and taking that high energy off of that generator head in through a noble gas to create the plasma state. Now, going back to what I said about my version of the plasma, which is, like the plasma globe that you see in your house, when you see, look inside here, that's plasma. You got a high voltage, high frequency wave that's going in there that's energizing that gas, and you can see the effects that you get out of it. But one of the things that is key about this is we need to be able to move that energy from the generator head and then move it over out of the way so that we don't invoke Lenz's law. If you look at the video that I did called Unsubscribe, you'll notice that as I start turning that little wind-up deal where I'm charging that deal, and when I first started, it was hard to turn. But the longer I got to turning that, and the more energy was built up inside those capacitors, the less resistance that I had on that charging system. And it kept getting less and less. The higher the voltage become in those capacitors, the less I had to work to turn that little wind-up generator. So capacitors is one way that you can actually store that energy before you actually put it under a load, so that you can, at the very least, make your generator not have to work near as hard, with the exception of the initial turn to get it started. because you're not feeding that energy back into the AC generator. You're actually taking that energy and you're changing it to DC wave, so that at a certain point, it's not going back towards the generator anymore. It's basically charging up the capacitor using the pressure of that high voltage. And so the key is to get all that energy that you want out of the generator head without making that generator head work hard by invoking Lenz's law, where it creates a brake that slows it down. Now that you got the energy in the capacitor, now you can start taking off of that energy. But with the plasma that I'm talking about, in order to be able to charge those capacitors more rapidly than you would be as if it was they were directly connected to the generator head, you can take that energy off in the form of heat or even light, for that matter. Solar panels work off of light and different wavelengths. There's methods by which you can actually extract that energy from just about every single wavelength of light out there, such as the solar panel technology and the LED technology out there. The LED doesn't care about current watts and amps. As a matter of fact, you put too much power to an LED, it'll burn up just like that. All it's looking for is electron flow. It doesn't care about anything else. When the electrons hit the material inside there, it releases photons of light, and now you have a light-emitting diode that only allows the current to flow in one direction. And so, by taking the plasma, you can capture the visible light spectrum off of it, and you can also capture the heat off of it. And you can take that heat energy inside the plasma, and you can move it away and use a thermoelectric system on the other side then to charge a capacitor bank. In this case, would never invoke Lenz's law, because there's no way physically possible for those electrons to make a path back into the generator head. The generator head just going to whatever it can normally turn with it, whatever power source you've got, it will maintain that speed, and you won't have to put any more than it takes to run that doggone generator in there. So at the very least, outside of perpetual motion, which I'm not talking about at the moment, I'm just talking about strictly making this thing super efficient to where it takes a whole lot less energy to get the same amount of energy out. And using their own laws of physics, where they say energy can neither be created nor destroyed, it can be changed and moved around and so on and so forth. This is what I'm talking about, moving it away from the generator head. Now, there are folks out there who will, you know, say, yeah, well, you can destroy energy, but, you know, whatever. I'm not going to argue that fact. All I'm saying is that take a generator head. There's so many different generators out there, little small permanent magnet motors. Muddy makes the actual flux wind generators that could be a brilliant way to get, you know, even more pressure, high voltage. That's why I keep talking about I want to build one that has a lot of real fine winds in there so that it's shooting out a really high voltage. And if you have a high frequency, high voltage charge going into inert gas, you will create enough plasma and enough heat to move that energy away, reclaim it back on the other side. So what do you guys think? Whew! Need to take a breath. You guys still there? Anybody? Going once? Man. That bad, huh? I bet you got some good grades in science class.
I've been busy gathering. Sorry. And I was listening, just caught me off guard.
Now, the whole key is this. Look, I'm not trying to do anything outside of laws of physics. And, you know, even though I don't believe that the laws of physics are written in stone, I'm just humoring them, okay? I'm showing everybody out there how you can take junk and you can get electricity. Now, everybody's talking about, you know, well, I can't run my house off of it, or it ain't efficient or whatever. I've been called everything under the sun and then some for everything that I said. But when I'm showing somebody a little simple circuit that says, you know, that radiant energy, it's picking up radio waves or picks up waste energy off your cell phone or a transformer, these little circuits that I picked up here out there on YouTube from other people that's doing research and pointed them out towards people. Every single one of those is a penny in the bucket, so to speak, whenever you're talking about dumping energy into that large Olympic-sized swimming pool. You know, it don't, that swimming pool don't care where that water comes from. You know, if you got 10,000 different water sources and one of them's just a drip of water just dripping in, that drip of water adds up. And so if you got a thermal electrics going, you got hydroelectrics, you got earth batteries, crystal batteries, solar power, wind power, and all of these systems, you could find creative ways to hide them everywhere around your property, you know, or just using, you know, whatever.
Like solar cells that look like leaves?
Yeah. So, you know, heck, camouflage
it. Or paint.
So,
paint the side of your house, turn it into a giant solar voltaic generator.
Well, there you go. Do you realize how much heat will build up in your car during the summertime whenever you got your windows rolled up?
Mm-hmm.
Man, those things get incredibly hot inside there. And if
you might want to stress that more to people who have dogs, too, that they like to take with them.
Yeah, don't leave your dogs in a closed car. It's not safe. You'll fry them. But
I saw somewhere a store literally set up these little pads with like a place to tie a dog to and a water dish on it and everything.
Yeah.
Along the outside of their building, so that basically people would not be tempted to leave their dog in the car.
Well, that's a good idea. That's how important it is, though.
That's how important it is. I mean, you know. Kids who can't open the door, dogs obviously don't have a way to basically open the door. I mean, anything that basically is alive, you don't want to leave that in your car in the sun.
Well, I agree.
I don't care how cool it may feel outside the car. Don't do it.
Yeah, and when you get inside those cars to understand how hot it is, especially if you got like black leather or black plastic leather, pleather, I think they call it plastic leather, pleather. Anyway, yeah, you got any black plastic or even dark colored materials in there, put your hand up on the dash once you had that car sealed up for a while, and you'll notice that sucker's hot, man. So, you know,
that brings to mind a thought that I had, which was to do some testing. Build yourself a thermoelectric generator, put it inside of a glass box so that basically the back side of it is, you know, because the heat has to pass through it.
Yep.
In one side, out the other. So, set it up so that one side's inside the box, one side is facing outside the box, of course, underneath it, away from where the sun's at, so that way the sun is not beating down on it outside of the box, but you cover it over with glass, and then start taking readings to see how much power it's putting out during the summer versus during the winter.
Yeah.
Because I think you'll get more power during the winter simply because the sun is still... most of the energy that the sun has to give is still there. You're not losing a whole lot from the tilt of the earth, but the draw to pull that heat back out the other side because of the cooler temperature during the winter, I think would be much, much greater than it would be during the summer.
But either way, even during the winter, you're still going to get something, you know, and at another, for every drip you got in the bucket, you know, that's what I'm talking about. And you know, I figured out when I started doing all this alternative energy stuff, I figured out that if you can make it up to 12 volts with some decent, you know, amperage or whatever to run something decent, you know, you'll have lights no matter what. I've had some solar panels out there that, Raymond brought some down that had been completely rolled up. Their faces are all cracked on them, and they're connected into that system, and they're still working. And some of the voltage I was getting off of them junky solar panels were quite impressive. So even after they've been trashed, I mean, you could take a shotgun and blow a hole through a solar panel. Whatever cells are still connected are still going to work. So, you know, if you got one that's almost cut completely in half, you might have to solder a new connector on somewhere, but you still got a good solar panel. So, you know... using things like that and things that people throw away, Heck, man, if you got an old junk car, if you're a redneck, got one sitting out there in 10 feet of grass, mow the grass down around that a little bit, you know, so that sunlight can get in there and, you know, chop some trees away from it or whatever, and just leave that thing there. And heck, you can make a solar dehydrator out of it. You could take the heat off of that deal to pump into a small building or something like that. I mean, there's all kinds of potentials. Throw some thermal couples in there, or some Peltier elements stuck to the glass on one side and to the air out on the other side. All that Peltier element's looking for is the temperature differential. If it's hotter inside that car than it is outside that deal, then you're going to get a little bit of energy moving through there. You see what I'm saying? And so when I talk about free energy, and I keep saying that if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough because you're surrounded by it. And if you don't put all your eggs in one basket, you can literally design a custom-made system to, at the very least, keep your lights on. You see what I mean? I mean, heck, if you're not paying the power company, a dollar per light bulb per month, then that's a few extra bucks in your pocket. So I'm saying start taking your house off the grid one little piece at a time, even if it's your cell phone charger. I got this nifty little solar panel that I bought down there at the tool shop down there. I can't remember what the name of that place is. Harbor Freight, I think it is. And I'll pay a few bucks for it, but you can plug it into any cell phone or portable device. It comes with adapters for all different ones. Fits right down in your pocket, and so if you're out in the middle of nowhere and ain't got no plug-in, you just plug it into the seal and hold it up to the sun and charge your phone up with it. You know? That's free energy as far as I'm concerned. And then pay an electric bill to use it. And that gizmo out there that's been in the free thinker video hasn't cost me a red cent. Everything that I've got on that deal has been junk that was either donated or I dug out of the trash. So that's
the best kind of free.
Yeah.
It's not like cash. He's going to give you these boxes for free if you put this huge donation in.
Yeah, you go buy one from him. I think I can't remember what the price tag on there. It was pretty high, but you're paying for three units.
About $900.
Yeah, you're paying for three units. You get one delivered to you, and the other two go to somebody who's poor, which is probably being the next guy that's going to pay for the $900. You see, like a pyramid thing going on there.
and if you pay the other two payments, your unit will start working.
Yeah, but if you don't pay for it. If you don't have good intentions,
then the unit doesn't work because you have bad intentions.
He said that companies can't even steal his designs, because if they steal his designs and go out there and try to put it on market, it won't work.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't that tell you something? I mean, come on. While I'm sitting here listening to this doggone deal, I'm trying to stomach my way through his seminars, and I'm watching him scribble on the deal. He's drawing up, showing you how to connect this thing up, and it's got a bunch of scribbling and babbling going on. And he actually gets to yelling at a few people a couple of time points in the deal. But anyway, he's a scribbling and babbling, and I'm getting a headache, and I'm like, my God, when's he going to say something substantial, you know? And, you know, he pretty much says that if you try to steal the stuff, you'll get it there, it won't work. And I'm seeing all these red flags pop up, and you know, I'm staking out these red flags, and I'm watching everybody else, you know, all his followers and people around the world who are just sucking it up like it's just candy or something, and they're buying into it. Now, hey, it's their money. I mean, if you want to buy a snake oil, run over there. He'll sell you some, I guarantee you that. But when you take your plug this into your house and all your wiring turns black, I kind of start worrying about all that. Now, if it turns it into a nanotube superconductor, and it does exactly what it says, and you can unplug this after a while, and you can still run non-resistive loads on this, and if you put this other device in each one of your resistive loads, such as your heater, then you can even run those as well. If everything he says comes to pass, then I'll eat my hat. Heck, I'll eat Thomas's top hat that's in his picture right there.
No, you won't. Stay away from my top hat. I'm
the way, remember Free Man Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was typing back and forth at him. He was talking about the subject while you were talking about it, and I let him know. He told me he'd been scanning over, and everywhere he goes, he finds your comments, and he's been rolling.
Well, I put on there a couple...
Congratulations, I think.
One or two times, I told him the Emperor has no clothes, man, because it's just like the story, you know? Nobody else is standing around in the crowd would say that the Emperor was naked. They would just, like, go wrong with it. Oh, yeah, these are beautiful clothes, you know? And they know they didn't see no clothes. And I'm sitting there, and I'm not going to sit there and say, yeah, those are nice clothes. I'm like, man, dude, you better put a towel around you or something. You could butt naked standing out there, you know?
Nice tattoo on your left cheek. Then he'll know that you're stupid, not one of the intelligent people like Dick that can't see the clothes.
And I know for a fact that Keshi has used some of my comments in his deal, because, like, he'll do a video, I'll put a comment on there, and then he'll come in there and he'll basically almost verbatim say what I just said in my comment, and you know, debunking my more or less wisecrack. I need to stop hassling that man. He's got good intentions, so his reactor's probably running his house while I'm paying the electric bill, so, you know. I'm just saying,
paying,
man.
Paying, you mean he's paying his electric bill with that extra $900?
Well, probably. I mean, how many times can you sell the same device?
Electric's working. Really do.
And he said that if you take it home and you burn it up, then that's all your fault, you know. And he said if you take it home and it doesn't work like it's supposed to, then you didn't hook it up right. He's left him so many different outs. Everything from your material not being dry enough to whatever, if it wasn't done like he said, or if you didn't understand, or if you didn't have the right intentions, and you know, so all he got to do is somebody comes back and says, hey, man, that thing burnt my house down. They'll be like, well, you must have got the positive and negative backwards. But let me ask you a question. And all you guys, everybody who has electricity in their house. Thomas, you got electricity in your house?
Well, not me, man. I got an outhouse.
Oh, okay. Well, in your outhouse, if you could, would you have electricity?
No, man, you guys are talking about that scam. It ain't going to be around for a minute.
Anyway, AC current's what I was trying to beat around the bush to. Everything's AC current on there. And he keeps talking about how you got to hook this to the power supply on your mains, one side to the negative and one side to the positive. Now, I don't know.
Actually, there is a similar term, though, for AC mains. They call it a hot and a cold.
Yeah, neutral and a ground.
Yeah.
Hot, neutral, and ground.
Okay, yep. Well, maybe it's just a terminology thing. I've been hanging around Justin so long, I've got that terminology thing going on. I don't know.
Watch out for that.
I just don't want to get too off the
table. Don't bring that up. You're going to give me eyeball whiplash.
All I want to do is tell everybody to proceed with caution. If you're going to spend your money on this device, make sure that you plug it into somebody you don't like's house first. And see what happens. Because I ain't plugging that in my...
Are these the same people that will be out shopping for guitar chords and run across that one that says, sure, that on the top of the package it says, sure, you can jam with my band, and it's, you know, got a quarter-inch jack on one end to plug into your guitar, and the other end plug has a three-prong grounded outlet plug?
I like that.
I don't know, man. That's kind of deadly. You can kill somebody with one of those.
Well, there's a guy out there. He does some videos, how-to videos, and he's really kind of funny. But he made electric guitar pretty much the same thing. He had a little 110 outlet plug, you know, like a regular lamp plug. And he hooked it up to some wires that was on a strung across his guitar box that he built. And as soon as he hits it, he gets shocked, that kind of deal. Anyway, back to the Keshi device out there.
They told him to go out behind the dairy farm building to take a leak when it was in the middle of winter and just pee over the fence. Don't worry about it. And he went ahead and did it. More than once, probably.
Dang.
can't figure out why he was having problems.
Anyway, if you plug that into your house, and after a while it's supposed to nanocoat all the wiring in your house, turn all your wiring black, I would be concerned about that issue. If it does what he says it's going to do, then he pretty much says that he wants all these devices all over the entire world and every household out there. And even if your neighbor don't have one, after a certain period of time, his house will be nano-coated as well, because this will nano-coat the entire power grid of the United States and all different countries. So, eventually, the power companies wouldn't be able to do nothing about it, because it's just going to nano-coat. It's going to make this big old giant spider web of nanotube coatings.
All that over sounds like a sci-fi horror movie waiting to happen. Well, that's there won't be any buildings left, there won't be any people left, there won't be any trees, no mountains, it'll all just be this gray goo-like powder.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
The whole planet, it'll end up looking like the moon.
That's what I was thinking, man. Like, so this spreads like a disease and goes through all the power grid, you know, okay, like this. You ever been, got underneath the hood of your car and you seen that green crud that's right up there on your battery terminals that if you don't clean it up before too long, it'll literally follow that copper wire all the way down through the entire wiring system of your car and turn it green? Same process.
That's not going to happen, because long before it gets to that stage, it'll build up so thick in your connector on the battery, it'll disconnect it. You won't be getting enough conductivity through it, that it'll literally short it out.
Well, either way, I've seen some...
She called me up. She started talking about Cassie. She said, what do you think? And I started talking about, well, what if it kind of goes all the way down and actually makes it through the transformer because it's some frequency causing it to do it and going on, and it covers everything, goes over. She said, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's why I called you. So it's not just in our minds. I'm pretty sure it's in everybody's head.
Yeah, so if it turns the entire power grid black...
I don't say not everybody's. I got a friend on Facebook that's been going crazy talking about shooting and killing Keshi. He's so mad because he sees the guy scamming people. I had to calm him down. I'm like, man, you'll get yourself arrested. You do something like that here, they can show up with the guys in the suits with the little flashy red light show up for your hat. You're behind.
Well, he's already said that he's got a lot of people out to get him because I can see why, but I mean, I don't advocate any violence or anything like that.
Just killing ribs over there in the same country that he's doing all this in. So.
One of the things that was really funny, it was the day after the video that he did where he had all the ambassadors from all the different countries, and he was passing out these devices to each ambassador from each one of these different countries, was that the next day comes on there and he's all mad about something, right? And so finally he comes out there and he says, well, you know, I gave it over to the Chinese ambassador and they ran off with it and so on and so forth. Are you going to give technology to the Chinese? You think they're going to take it and run?
Yeah, they're going to go take it apart and analyze it and make their own.
Yeah, they'll probably make a better version.
They don't need to.
I was going to say, they'll take it and put the details in one of those factories where they beat people to basically make them work for a handful of rice a day, and they go home at night to a grass hut. In the meantime, they're basically making them iPhones when they're in the actual factory.
Well, see, then that's the thing. You know, if you're going to do business with people, you need to at least look and see what they're doing to the people that's working for them.
What kind of ethics
they
have.
They're going to get them a 3D printer and some charcoal and some plastic and some iron filings and just start printing them out.
Well, he's got people all over the place building these reactors, and Zero Fossil Fuel's been doing one. He built a replication of the deal, and I'm waiting to see if he has any newer videos up, because he's giving it the honest test. He's running the deal and going to see if he sees any kind of anomalies, any levitation, because there's all kinds of anomalies that you're supposed to be able to see with this thing if you got the right intentions.
Including cold electricity. Yeah.
That's Spaceship
and
Institute.
Why don't we spend a whole show about science talking about a guy who's not doing science, he's doing scamming?
Well, because we got to warn everybody about this, man.
Doesn't take a whole show, though.
All right. Well, let's
steer clear of this guy. Let's,
All right, look out, guys. Don't
real science.
Don't. When you get over there, just keep a skeptical eye
Have a skeptical eye because, you know, the truth, this is the thing, okay, you don't have to defend the truth. The truth is a lie and it will, you know, defend itself.
Yeah, buyer beware.
Facts are facts. You can, you know, if something you're trying to tell somebody isn't true, that's the only reason you would have to basically defend it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's the truth, you don't have to it's like gravity, okay? I tell you there's gravity that, you know, pulls everything down to the ground. I don't have to argue with you about it. I can tell you, look, man, if you don't believe there's gravity, you want to jump off that edge of that cliff and go fly off, you go right ahead. I told you if you jump off the cliff, you're going to fall and something very bad is going to happen to you. But, you know, you want to ignore the truth, you will suffer the consequences of the truth, you know?
Yeah, that's like the laws of physics. You got to pay attention to them because sometimes they hurt.
They don't hurt, man. None of that hurts. Ignoring them and abusing them, that's what hurts. We hurt ourselves.
All right.
A wall won't walk up and wallop you.
All right.
Okay. So, that doesn't mean it won't hurt if you run head first into it.
Well, I ran into one of them road signs one time while I was mouthing off at somebody, at my brother or somebody, and I took off running and slammed into a sign. He's like, "Sir, you're right." Anyway.
Well, since you were just talking about the 3D printing, actually, Muddy was talking about 3D printing with charcoal and. Well, what else did you say? Charcoal?
Filings, plastics, okay. Whatever it takes them to make it. That's what they do. They find the cheapest crap they can to make more money.
Well, listen, there's two companies, though, that are selling that stuff right now. You can go to Maker Geeks, and you can go to, Hackaday? I'll get the links and drop them in here. They make, not only do they make iron filament, meaning there's iron powder in the filament, so if you lightly rub your plastic part afterwards to knock the very surface off of it and expose it to salt water, it turns rust-colored. It's magnetic. You can stick a magnet to it, right? But they also make a bismuth version.
Cool.
Wow.
That actually has a diamagnetic material in the plastic. And when you heat it up, you just squirt it right through the same head that does all the 3D printing that for all of those 3D printers that you see out there. They have both the 3 millimeter and 1.75 millimeter filament, so there's no excuse not to use it.
Well, that would be brilliant for making some electric motors with, because I can think of all kinds of different deals using the bismuth and some magnetics to, you know, make some frictionless bearings and stuff like that.
And this is the thing, is that the thinner the layers of the cladding that they use for building, like the rotors and the stators out of, the more efficient the motor tends to be.
Yep.
So imagine efficient something like that would be with that little nano powder in there instead of, you know, thicker layers that, like, you know, they're paper thin to you and I, but you look at the distance between the surface and the bottom of that sheet of paper versus the size of those particles, and the particles are way smaller.
And as far as the magnets, I've already proven using that hard drive motor that you don't have to have a strong magnet to produce a lot of voltage.
Right.
So
that reminds me, Thomas, you said you got one of them printer pens.
Yes.
3D printer pens. Do they have the copper for that as well? You could, like, draw circuits and solder?
That'd be cool.
I haven't seen any copper, but I have seen conductive filament. I just have to see if I can get enough temperature out of that pen, because the temperature on that pen tops out at like 235 degrees Celsius. So there's a lot of different filaments I can't use because it says it has to be hotter than that.
Hey, what you said there, Muddy, what you said there, you ought to call Robert Murray Smith and ask him, just out of curiosity, if he could try to use some of his paintable ink, his conductive ink, to build a circuit. Yeah.
He's done it.
He's actually printed a circuit, a piece of e-board?
He's painted one. Just like use a paintbrush to put all the traces down for the circuit.
Right.
No solder either. Just paint right up onto the leads for the different components and let it dry.
Well, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. He's also painted these panels. You just keep going back and forth and all that. these panels to make you hold, you know, to make a like a plywood-sized piece of wood into a heater panel for your house.
Right. There's enough resistance it converts the electricity going through it into heat.
Right. And it's,
defrost windows and stuff like that.
It's enough surface area that it doesn't have to get red hot and burn the wood that you painted it on. It just gets warm and you get a mass heat effect. You know.
Right.
It puts enough watts into the air just over a bigger area.
Well, help so it's safe. If you could print out your own circuits, man, heck, you could probably use a regular inkjet printer and some of that ink and print it out right on plastic and make you your own PCB boards.
Yep, it's just fiberglass paper.
Right, hey, listen, that other name of that company is Matter Hackers. It's matterhackers.com.
Cool.
But see what I'm talking about here, guys? You got all this different brilliant research out there. And this is what I'm trying to point out to everybody. If we could bring all these people together to the table in a shop somewhere, we could get things done. You know, even if we only made it once a month or once a year, got everybody somehow or another funded enough to where if you needed to travel, your travel would be paid for. I think together the right crew could actually make this happen, man. And if we built some sort of marketable device that we could just throw out there, it doesn't even have to be energy related, you know, or just something useful, using the mechanical skills.
I was gonna say I would sell devices to people, but I would give the schematics for free away so they can make them and sell them to people too.
Well, yeah, we could do that.
Business.
We could do that.
You basically make it for those who can't make it themselves or don't have time.
We could do that.
And the ones that can do it themselves, you let them go ahead and do it themselves. Don't try to, you know, try to withhold anything from them so that you can make money off of them.
No, I'm saying like this. Let's say.
I'm saying, there's both sides of the coin. It's either one is not good. If you refuse to do any work to help anybody else out except throwing the information out there, there's plenty of people out there that can't do it.
Well, I'm talking about something like this. Look, I'm not talking about selling a free energy device. I'm talking about, like, if I make an alarm system that connects to my toilet so that it would let me know that if my toilet was fixing to flood over in a minute or two because it done went past its normal water level, then I can go in there and shut the water off before I flood my house. But, you know, there'd be like a piezoelectric beeper that goes off real loud. Right. When I sell them the device that I put together, hold on. When I sell them the device that I put together, I send the diagrams of how they can build it themselves. And if, just like you said, you see what I'm saying? I'll send that right with the product. They know how that thing's made and what all parts it took to make it right there in front of them.
Well, I wouldn't even worry about sending it to them with the device. I'd make it available online so that they can just get it for free. They don't even have to buy one to get it.
Well, and Thomas is good like that. He makes these goggles and stuff and shows you how to make them and the tools, and he really wants you to make them. But there's enough people out there that won't do it for themselves.
Well, that's brilliant. I'm just trying to figure out a way to honestly fund a venture such as what we're talking about to be able to bring...
And that's a...
Huh? You still there?
You're giving they'll look at the idea and go, wow, that's so great. I wish I could do it. Oh, wait, you sell one on your site? And they'll just go ahead and buy the one you got.
Yeah.
And they're going to know. They're going to come to you before somebody else who's, selling something similar that they won't show how it's made. Because if you're willing to let them build it themselves, obviously... You're doing things to help people out. You're going to be much more likely to give them a good deal on what you're buying. You're not going to overcharge them.
Well,
you're not going to burn them with whatever it is, and you're not going to build something that you're sure is going to break down a certain amount of time, so you can turn around and sell another one to them or anything like that.
Well, and there's enough people that got a lot of money and would rather just see you charge even more just so he can help you out.
Well, look, the Slayer Exciter circuit is a prime example. It's a real simple circuit. I could have built this myself. I could have wound my own coils myself, but Ryan Abrams over there is an artist. And I ain't kidding you, man. When the guy does some work, he does beautiful-looking work. And instead of me having to take my time to go ahead and build this, which I could have built, you know, and I caught a lot of guff for not building it myself from other people that, well, you just had to have somebody else build it for you. It was a convenience thing, you know. It's not, because if you look at the circuit, it is posted out here on the podcast page over on Shaziz Radio. Simple circuit. You can build it yourself. But because Ryan does good work, I went ahead and paid him to make me one, all right? And he shipped it out to me, and it was great, you know. And I got a quality deal. But not only did that help me, because it saved me some time messing around trying to wind the coils and all that kind of stuff, which I could have done. But, you know, I got a quality deal from him. It helped him out, gave him a little money extra for he can make some for somebody else.
And you can see, therefore, exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Speaking of Slayer Circuit, the Slayer Circuit and trash and junk and all that, I have out of a working device some, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not ballasts. It's basically like a really high-powered Slayer exciter circuit, I'm guessing, for, you know, charge for running those fluorescent bulbs that are in the back of a TV.
Yeah.
So before they started using LEDs in them. Well, I've got two of those sitting here. If you want them, you get with me after the show, and I'll give you the... just give me your address and whatnot. Says I have a little bit of money to throw it in a box and send it to you. I'll send them to you.
Cool.
They're only like 3 inches by 10 inches, but they're like a half an inch thick or less.
Right on.
It's a nice thin flat pack circuit, so it might actually work effectively. You just put like 12, 24 volts DC into them, and out the other side comes caution, high voltage.
Well, a Slayer exciter and a Tesla coil ain't nothing more than a fast acting switch receiver slash transmitter. And I showed that you could, with a pin light battery, a little AAA battery, 1.5 volt battery, you can make wireless energy transfer. It's all you're doing is pulsing the field. It's that simple. And so, where do you want to take it? I mean, you can take it as far as high as you want to go. It just, you know, and people was talking about giving me, they was giving me a rash. One lady was giving me a rash on there talking about, well, you know, my toothbrush, my electric toothbrush is more efficient than that. And I asked her if I could borrow her electric toothbrush for some experiments, you know. I'm always into efficiency because, you know, I want to find out what makes it tick. So I'd be taking her toothbrush apart and checking it out, see, you know, how good it was. But it wasn't the efficiency that I was trying to point out. It was the effect. And that's the key to a lot of these circuits that I'm showing people. The radiant energy circuit, I didn't design it. You know, it goes all the way back to Tesla's radiant energy patent, you know. It picked up energy out of the air. And, you know, energy travels in waves. And so you can actually capture that energy. And so I'm just merely showing the effect. Even if it works on a small scale, you know, that small scale still has the same effect. If it's charging even in the millivolt range. If you're taking millivolts and you're dumping it into an Olympic-sized swimming pool and there is absolutely no resistance because that Olympic-sized swimming pool isn't full, those millivolts are still adding to the power potential in that pool. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to have a lot of pressure to force energy into something. As long as that isn't already pressurized where you have to actually overcome that pressure, that energy is going to go wherever it can. And so, even if it's only millivolts that you're dumping into your capacitor bank, you can see this yourself if you take a capacitor and hook a red LED on it. You stick it out there in the sunlight, it'll take a while, but that doggone deal will fill up as far as it can. You know, all the way up to its highest voltage at some point until the resistance matches itself out to where now the LED is actually trying to run off the energy that it's storing in there, and it levels out and it'll stop charging. You see what I mean? No? Boy, radio silence. Not everybody jumped the microphone once. Don't want anybody to chip a tooth, man.
Sorry, we fell asleep.
I was just trying to point out that even with something as simple as a red LED, using it as like a solar panel, because just like the all it needs is electron flow, photons interacting one direction or another with that material inside that LED, and you will get energy flow. But if you're charging the capacitor up with it, it will go up to its max potential until that LED, the power inside that capacitor gets high enough to actually run that LED. Then it will level itself out. It won't charge any higher than that. And once you understand that, then you can take that energy and drain it off when it gets to a certain point. That's why I was trying to find somebody who could design a little circuit that would kick on at anywhere from a half a volt to, you know, 1 volt or whatever. Just a real simple circuit that would act as a discharge circuit for a capacitor. So if you got a capacitor that will only charge up to a half a volt, once it gets to a half a volt, it hits like a transistor switch or whatever that dumps that power down into a larger bank. You have multiples of these doing this all day long, you got a lot of energy flowing. You see what I mean?
If you're using diodes, the power can't back up and go the other direction anyway.
Yeah. Well, either way, just a trip circuit that will allow one capacitor to charge up as high as it will and then dump it in. So, That's, you know, it's just another one of the effects of all the different potentials out there that could be added together instead of putting all your eggs in one basket and being like a Bedini disciple or, you know, whatever. And instead of... The Bedini motor's brilliant. How it picks up energy, you know, off of the opposite coils. When he's got one motor charging it, they're being pulsed around there, it's picking up energy off of it. It's brilliant. But take that and don't just stop there. Instead of using just a battery to run this thing initially, throw a solar panel on there and keep that battery charged up so that it'll run even longer yet. Throw a wind turbine on there like the ones that Muddy builds, and it'll keep that doggone that system out there that I've been doing the Freethinker series about has been running for at least 3 or 4 months now using this exact same concept. So it's, you know, to me it's not rocket science. Can I run my house off of each piece of it individually? No. You know, I mean, I need more energy to do that. And in order to do that, to be able to run enough for my house, first I need to calculate up how much it costs me to run my house one day, or how much power that I, kilowatts, whatever, that I use per day. You know, I need to build me a decent-sized battery bank. I need to figure out how to dump enough energy into the capacitor bank prior to the battery bank and move that energy in there. So, no hoodoo voodoo to it. It's just math, you know.
Wow, math, sweat, blood, and tears.
Yeah.
Nothing gets done without labor. You gotta have some labor going in.
Yeah, but
I mean, if you're not doing something already, and you'd be normally sitting in front of a TV watching Days of Our Lives, why not go ahead and actually, you know, put something together that you can say, hey, look what I made. And you get some value out of it afterwards, after the fact, too, using it, you know?
Even if I get this junk heap together, and it only keeps, let's say, 3 or 4 light bulbs off of my doggone power grid. That's 3 or 4 light bulbs that I don't have to pay for anymore.
Right.
So, you know, if you can't reach the total of what you need for your entire house, at least use these systems to supplement your house to save yourself some money, and then take that money... be responsible with it and reinvest it into taking another portion of your house off and keep working gradually until it's done.
I think an issue with a lot of people not doing this stuff, even people who really would love to, they listen to shows like this and whatnot, watch shows, the videos and whatnot you're talking about and stuff all the time because they're interested in it or fascinated by it, but they don't have somebody to basically hold their hand to get started.
Well, then let's send some people out there to help them out.
You know, right. And that's the thing is you need to get people together to act as, at the very least, emotional support while we're working on, you know, whatever it is we're working on. So never mind the fact that, you know, depression is actually one of the number one diseases in America. It's just not, nobody's, you know, keeping tabs on it. So
okay, here's an idea.
Any statistics to prove it.
Here's an idea that I think you'll agree with. All right, everybody out there has a neighborhood and hopefully a good deal with their community. You know, you got good friends and stuff.
Relations.
relationship. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, everybody get together, your own little groups and your own little communities, and at the very least, go to each one of them. You got something that you know for a fact works. Okay, let's just start off with something as simple as a little bitty solar lighting that you get out there at the Everything a Dollar store over here. I don't know where they sell them over there, but they're little walkway lights that you plug out there. They got a little rechargeable battery in there, and they'll charge up when the sun's out. So you go around to all your neighbor's house, and y'all pitch in. You set your systems up to where now, at the very least, nobody in that entire community stubs their toe while trying to get into the door because they all have this little solar lighting setting out. Expand on that. Take some of the ones that maybe the batteries went bad and take the solar panels out and the little circuitry and use that to charge a little bit larger battery. All right? Now, you go around all your neighbors in your network there, and you do this for each other until you get, like, one of your major light bulbs off your power grid. Just keep building until your entire town becomes energy efficient. At the very least, you're all saving money. You see what I mean? A lot of this stuff could be done simply with a lot of recycled. And if you look into the graphene technology that Robert Murray Smith is doing, the crystal battery technology that we talked about earlier out there, solar power, wind power, and much, much more. There's so many different ways that you could, at the very least.
That's the thing, is you get a large enough group of people that are interested in working on this stuff. One of them, at the very least, is going to have what it takes to make the first thing happen that you're needing to fall into place, to kind of kickstart everybody else into experimenting and working on and building things from scrap. And the thing is, all it takes is for somebody to see another person do something one time, and there's this paradigm shift that happens in their brain. They suddenly find they can do things that basically they couldn't do before. Yeah. The reason they couldn't do it before is because they didn't know they could, or they didn't believe that they could. I mean, that's why we keep having world records being broken on all sorts of stuff, is because somebody already broke the last record. Well, so people keep pushing and hitting that record, and eventually somebody breaks it again.
I agree. And Muddy kept talking about a long time ago about rolling up a black garden hose and throwing it underneath a compost pile that would generate heat that could heat up water and stuff. That energy potential could be used as well to supplement your community's electricity. There's so many different... Once you show them how to do it, you know, heck, bring your friends around during the summertime and throw one of them hoses out there and fill it up with water. Show them the temperature, and then everybody go out and have a drink or something like that. Come back later and measure that temperature again, and they'll learn right there and then. You can get hot water without any electricity. You see what I mean?
Right. Some of this stuff requires you owning your own home, too. You start doing this at a rental home, and your landlord might throw a fit.
Well,
that's why you get the community so involved in this that eventually that landlord is going to be standing there going, hey, what can I do to my buildings?
Thomas, you're an artist. You could probably figure out a way.
Black hose under my compost pile.
You could probably figure out a way to disguise.
I noticed you got a compost pile, and they got a problem with you having the compost pile.
Thomas.
And you got a problem with me having a garden or something.
Thomas.
Right, yes.
You're an artist. You could probably figure out a way to disguise that water heating, solar water heating thing into a piece of artwork that everybody come by and tell you, oh, that's beautiful, you know, not even realizing that it has a dual purpose. It's sitting out there in the sun getting hot.
Giant piece of dog poo?
No.
You ever seen that? They basically use animal feces to build these lawn sculptures, and then as they slowly melt and fall apart from the rain and whatnot, they're basically fertilizing your yard.
Well, I know the Mythbusters answered the question that they say you can't polish a turd, and they proved you can, so it's moving right along. Anyway, look, what I'm saying is this. You know, it doesn't have to be under a compost heap. You could actually take and modify it to where... A lot of houses have those black railings on there, that angled tubing, you know. You can run some copper tubing up in between there. It's not out there in plain view.
That's what I was going to get at, was, you know, coming up with solutions for people who don't own their place.
Yeah.
They can just set it up and use it and then tear it down and take it with them when they move, you know. Nobody's stuck with something being a part of their house because of somebody they rented to before, you know.
Well, there's thousands
I remember a ham operator, man. They told him he couldn't put up an antenna, but he wanted an all-bander antenna. And he was going to get it either way. So there's a deal called a J-pole. Looks like a little J. You build it out of copper tube or copper pipe. And what he did is make the smaller J-pole on top. And then down below that, he had coming off the other side. And he wound up making it look like some kind of artwork of a saguaro cactus that got bigger as it got towards the bottom. And he transmitted out fine. Nobody could find the antenna. He had these little rocks and this thing all decorated out on the little lawn out in front of his apartment. And nobody said anything for 3 years.
Well, there you go, man.
It was pretty cool. It was just a sculpture. So, yeah, there's a way. If I had a comp, I'd make probably like maybe like a plywood box and everything, put the compost underneath it and another board up on top, and then go ahead and plant some little flowers and stuff.
Well, where there's a wheel, there's a way. Everybody, I've heard so many people give so many different excuses why they can't do something. But look, man, if you got a window in front of your house and the sun's coming through there at some point, you could have a little... They got these little bitty suitcase-style solar panels you can get. And you can stick that right there in the window, you know. It don't have to be something that's outside the house. You could use reclaimed heat off of light bulbs. I mean, if you're using a 100-watt light bulb anyway, and you're going to be paying for it, why not reclaim some of that doggone heat? There's a toy out there called an Easy Bake Oven. Not only do you get the light off of the doggone thing, but you're also being able to cook a doggone cake with it. Man,
you see
what I'm saying?
That's what I'm fixing to do down the shop.
It's a kid's toy.
I'm going to just lay a 70-watt solar panel out there and a 50-watt bulb inside the styrofoam box, and I'm going to cook. That's going to be my solar oven.
And there's two ways to light up a tungsten element. I had this this conversation with one of these physics individuals out there from the college that was telling me, you can't do this because of that. You know, I ain't never seen nothing like this, whatever. And I'm talking about go out there and look at some of the works like Deeds has been doing and Terry Woodruff and Ryan Abrams. They've lit up tungsten elements with Slayer exciter circuits. Now, granted that they probably pumped some of them up pretty high, but Deeds was only running about, anywhere from 18 to 20 some odd volts, and was still not only running electric motors with the wireless energy, but running tungsten elements. So that told me that you didn't have to have... See, normally a tungsten element is a resistive load. You know, it relies on a lot of current, and that resistance in that deal causes that element to heat up. But we also know that everything has its own resonant frequency. And so if you can match that resonant frequency and get that thing to vibrate fast enough, you're going to create friction, which in turn creates heat, and you're going to be able to light it up. So you could light up a tungsten element with just high voltage alone. I know for a fact it's possible because I've done it. It's simple. All you're doing is vibrating that doggone light bulb at a rapid rate, the tungsten element inside there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the how you use the energy that you have access to. Now, all these generators out there, and if I can get 450 volts AC out of a doggone computer hard drive by spinning it up several thousand RPMs, then you could imagine what you could do with a Fisher and Paykel or one of the Samsung versions of those direct drive motors. Now, I saw a guy out there on YouTube hook one to a 5-horse Briggs & Stratton, and he was pulling flaming arcs off of the end of that stick. Tell me that ain't power. You could burn a house down with that much power. You can burn a house down with less than that.
definitely light your cigarette.
Yeah, well, that kind of current that's throwing off them flaming arcs like they're not only burning you bad, but it could kill you, man. There's a lot of power going on there. And, you know, he wasn't bogging it down towards a load, but imagine if you took that energy that was coming off to that flaming arc, and you had a chamber that had anything from argon to helium or neon or any of the noble gases, and you created plasma with that. Number one, you're not bogging down the generator that's shooting out that arc. Now you're creating plasma, and you could take that heat off of that plasma from the inside of that plasma out. If you make a chamber that has the tubing inside there that will withstand whatever temperature that plasma gets to without melting, then you can take that heat off and push it into thermoelectrics and bring it back around to usable current again. So, in my mind, it's simple. It's not that it can't be done.
I don't like to use too many energy conversions because there always seems to be losses between each step that you get.
Well, where's it go?
It goes off into waste heat. It goes off into stray magnetics.
But what do you do with it?
Inverse harmonics.
That's the key, buddy. Look at the light bulb. What is the majority of the waste energy off of a tungsten element light bulb?
It's a heater with a byproduct of light.
Yeah. Well, the waste element portion of it is the heat. And people have taken that doggone waste element and they made things like, what's those things with the little globs that float up in there? Lava lamps. They made lava lamps with them. They made easy bake ovens with them. They make heaters, electric heaters with light bulbs. And so you can get the light off of it and you can recapture the heat and there ain't no losses in there. Because you're using it all. You see what I mean?
But you're not converting it there. You're just taking what is there.
You're just taking it away.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah. So if you're getting two for one, if you make your doggone light bulb have like a glass window on it, you know, kind of like the old ones that you see in the side of a ship. You got a glass window so you still get the light off of it. And then the rest of it's all enclosed in. That light is got heat now. Now you can blow a little fan through there and circulate cold air through there and heat your house up with a doggone thing. Is it going to heat up 10,000?
Aluminum foundry, aluminum ingot factory. Okay, and it was Tim and Standard and Tandem, and it was kind of an organization, a spinoff of an organization out there in California. But anyway, they had 12 Stirling engines taking the you had this big oven that had to get up to a few thousand degrees and stuff, and it's huge. You open it up and it looked like the gateway to hell, and you could feel the heat coming off it even though you're far back, and you just kind of squint your eyes and turn your face back and forth left and right. That's a lot of heat. But on the outside, even though this thing was insulated, it gave off a lot of heat. And we had Stirling engines on the outside of that, taking all that from that propane and stuff that basically the wasted heat coming off that, turning it back into electricity. And the ceiling was the tin roof, and there were Stirling engines up there absorbing the heat off the roof to keep it cooler inside and to make electricity. Now that's existing and conversion. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Well, I'll tell you.
I really wanted to work on those, but I left before I had a chance to.
I'll tell you one thing for sure. If you're going to be using tungsten element light bulbs, I think somebody ought to really, really do an experiment. Like, close off a room, put in first a energy saver bulb, and keep a record of the room temperature throughout the entire time while this energy saver bulb is in the room, and see if the room temperature remains the same or whatever, and then put in a 100-watt light bulb or higher up inside that same exact room and then measure the temperature difference. I think that what you're going to find out is there's going to be a definite temperature difference in that room. So, at one sense, you're saving money because you're putting the energy saver light bulb in. But you're also having to compensate for that specific type of light in order to be able to keep that room at a certain temperature. You see where I'm coming from here?
Yep. You might, in the wintertime, you might as well be running the incandescent.
Yeah. So if that incandescent light bulb is going to be putting off radiant heat anyway, you know, it might cost you a little bit more than the other energy saver bulb, but at the same sense, you're not having to compensate by turning your heater up higher.
Right. In the wintertime, I leave the coffee maker warming the coffee because it's not wasted electricity. It's still heat going out. And the same thing with my lights. I don't worry about turning them off. I got one outside. Big deal. What it's going to cost after every 4 hours is going to cost me, what about every 10 hours is going to cost me 13 cents?
Well, here's a real simple freebie for everybody out there. First off, find your local thrift store and go find you one of those old Igloo coolers. Who makes those doggone things? Maybe it's a company called Igloo?
Yeah.
All right.
That's why they call them Igloo coolers.
Yeah, there you go. Find you one of them Igloo coolers that you plug into your cigarette lighter and tear it apart and pull the Peltier element out of that thing. And there should be a little fan in there in some of them. But either way, pull the Peltier element out of that doggone thing, and then get you a computer fan. Build you a little casing around a light bulb where your lamp is, and so that whenever that light bulb is running, when the Peltier element gets hot enough, it will kick that little fan on and circulate some air through across to that light bulb on there. What do you think?
A lot of work.
Oops. What are you, lazy or something?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that's a pretty cool deal, man. Hey, you put one of those up underneath your... matter of fact, Boomer's got one. It's a little coffee cup warmer, and it's a Peltier device. It just plugs into the USB, believe it or not.
Well, there you go. Now, what if you take that same doggone system that you're using to light your room up? You got a Peltier element on the back of this thing. It is circulating just a little bit of wind across that light bulb, just enough to keep the air moving around in the room. And then on top of it, you have a little place that you can set your coffee mug on top of to keep your coffee. So you're running that light bulb, you're heating your coffee, and you're circulating air through the room all with the same device.
Well, I got one of those Dinty Moore beef stew cans, right? And I've got a small bulb up underneath that sucker, and I put my coffee cup on it. That's my one.
Well, those light bulbs I measured out, and I was getting well over 180 to 200 degrees off a light bulb before I got bored with trying to see how hot that thing would actually get. I know they get really hot, especially if you're running 100 watt or higher.
Oh, I know how hot light bulbs get.
Well,
matter of fact, if you put it in a can, it's really going to do, or if you cover it with aluminum foil, the sucker's going to get really hot.
You can cook your beef stew.
I used to get there on them signs, the message center signs. And I tell you what, man, it might be 100 degrees out there, and you're praying for the wind to blow, and you've got all these 50-watt light bulbs that are only got an inch gap between them all down a whole lamp bank, and then the wind blows, and it collects that heat, and I tell you what, man, it will burn you.
That's what
I'm
saying.
You say, oh, God, wind, please stop blowing.
You could take a 100-watt light bulb, a piece of sheet metal, and make you a cook stove out of it where you could heat your doggone beef stew in the can that it comes in, which I don't know, sometimes they coat inside them cans, might not be a very good idea. Use a regular pan. Anyway, you could heat your beef stew, warm your coffee, use a Peltier element to circulate the fan underneath there to keep the deal moving, and still get enough light to see. You see what I'm saying, man? It's unlimited. If you just use a little bit of common sense, you already know it's going to be wasting heat, so why waste it? Use it. Cook something with it.
Word for the wise. Remember, they were going to get rid of the mercury vapor or your T8s and stuff like that, and now we got them all in little twisty things, and they say they're the most efficient. Now they're trying to get rid of the tungsten element lights because they do heat.
Well, then I guess we'll have to get into manufacturing. We'll have to build our own.
Now I'm going to get a bunch.
anyway, you know, with the LED lighting is probably the most efficient, and you can light it up with high voltage alone. You don't even need a lot of current to run them. There's the same ones that you could run on 120 volts AC, right, plug right straight into the main. You can run off of a hard drive motor. All right, there's so
seven years ago, the fluorescent tubes and mini T, the little twisty CFLs, those were the most efficient light per wattage that you put in. And it wasn't very long past that that the LEDs took off and became even more efficient.
They're getting better all the time.
Well, no, not exactly, because now they're trying to drive them suckers where they have to have a heat sink on them, and they blow fast, so they aren't going to be long-lasting, like a sign bulb as compared to a household bulb.
Well,
that incandescent light bulb, that Edison light bulb, that was at the firehouse for all them years and stuff like that. Well, if you ever look up at it, all the other lights are kind of real white, and then that one's kind of a dimmer yellow. That's because that element is just a little bit longer, so it doesn't heat up as much. It's just going to give light, and it's going to be long lasting. That's the same thing they do with the sign bulb. So, but the ones you get at home, man, yeah, they get you a big old multi-pack, and they give you a discount. Oh, man, yeah, you got a bunch of them, but you're changing one or two of them out every freaking month.
Well, if they say that it'll run on 9 volts, run it on less. Because LEDs are only looking for electron flow. They don't need a lot of current, watts, and amps. All they need is a flow of electrons.
That's actually a crystal, though, that you're running electrons through, and unlike metal, the hotter it gets, the more resistance it creates. That crystal, the hotter it gets from having power running through it, the lower the resistance gets, and it becomes very greedy for power until eventually it burns itself out.
Well, I got LEDs.
Constrict it, restrain it from having the power that it wants to take.
I got LEDs over there in my lab that have been working for years, and they still work, and they're not even plugged into nothing. You can just pick one up and put it right near your doggone Tesla coil, and it'll light up. You're the ground. It works perfect, and I'm not pumping no substantial voltage, but I still get exactly the same amount as if I plugged it into a 9-volt battery with a resistor on it. So, maybe the older style LEDs you ought to stock up on in case they make them so that they fail easier. I don't know, but either way, it's just, you know, there are all kinds of potentials out there. There's all kinds of things that you throw away in the trash. You send your microwaves off to the junk man. And inside your microwave oven, there's already ready-built generators in there. Those little carousel motors, man, those things will shock the crud out of you. And that's a pretty good voltage.
Got a gear reduction, but when you spin it, it's a gear up to that little motor. And she'll put out a lot of volts.
Yep.
Matter of fact, a friend of mine that does scrapping, I told him I want these little motors out of there. He wanted all my microwave ovens that I had out there. I told him I wanted the MOTs, and I wanted the magnetrons, and I wanted the carousel motor out of two of them. And he just took the magnetrons out. He said the rest of it was too hard, but he did get me one carousel motor. And then he asked me, what do you want this for? I said, they're excellent little generators. He said, that thing ain't going to do nothing. All right, here, hold these two wires. And I gave that thing a spin. He did a quick dance. I made a believer about it.
Well, the first time I saw those doggone things there, I watched a video where a guy tore apart a microwave oven. And he was sitting there, and he was showing the parts that he got out of the microwave oven. And as he's turning this thing, he shocks the crud out of himself. And I'm like, man, there ain't no way he took that big of a hit from that little junky motor. And so I went and got one myself, and I was hanging on to the wires, you know, all in the name of science. I cranked that puppy over, and I got lit up, man. I was a believer. But if you take those things apart and you look inside, there is a really weak magnet inside there. And that's the key. When that those carousel motors are made to gear slow one direction, but when you reverse those gears, it raises the RPMs up in the opposite direction. And so it causes that little weak magnet to spin past those coils so fast that it produces a massive amount of energy. So there's the key, man. You don't even have to have super strong magnets to make a generator. If you're just strictly looking for high voltage, then high voltage is simple as all get out to get. If you want all the current watts and amps, then you need to take that high voltage, move it as rapidly as possible into some sort of storage bank that will build it up to where now you have the power potential, such as an 800 microfarad capacitor. I had one sitting right next to my coil. It was being charged up wirelessly from one coil to the next. And I just, while I'm out there working with my experiments, it was charging up via spark gap. And then I went to discharge that thing. It sounded like a shotgun going off. My wife thought I blew myself up out there in the lab. Come running, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm all right. Just discharged that capacitor." But could you imagine?
You discharged it when you did, because the capacitor blows up, it gets even louder.
Well, yeah. But even that capacitor there is set up so that whenever it gets fully charged, it sparks back onto the doggone coil that's charging it, onto the deck, and sends a signal up that and sends it back out. So it basically has its own built-in safety. It's not going to ever overcharge that battery, because once the capacitor, once it gets fully charged, it will discharge right back to the deck and send another signal right up another built-in Tesla coil. So, you know, there you go, man. But every time I left my lab, I always discharged all the capacitors, because I didn't want nobody, you know, stumbling around in the dark trying to find something or whatever and accidentally put the thumb across the 800 microfarad capacitor and not have a thumb anymore. Or me myself, you know. Go down there and touch that doggone thing after it's been charged up and forget about I had been charged up. I've been lit up once or twice. Once or twice to 10 or 15,000 times. I got shocked a few times when Raymond was out here trying to show him a few things. So, either way, if you can't find...
Yeah, you tried to get him to lick your fly swatter, wouldn't you?
No, I told him, that's why I was trying to tell you not to tell him that, because I didn't want him, because he probably would try. I don't know. No, look. Stick your tongue on that fly swatter, you're going to have beef jerky instead of a tongue. That thing will probably blow your tongue out of your face.
How'd that one taste there, Raymond?
Yeah, that thing's got four extra 500 volt capacitors built onto that. That's that turns a bug to dust.
I wish they had me little bug zapper. Big bug zapper, yeah.
Well, you guys want to take a quick music break and...
You only got 10 minutes left.
Well, we can go for an extra overdrive if you like.
Sounds good to me.
You got y'all got any more to talk about? What about you, Steve? Are you asleep yet? Steve, this is the ghost in your room talking. Ooh, ha, ha, ha. Drop the beer, Steve. He probably went to sleep, man.
He got caught red-handed.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick music break. You're listening to Mad Science. Jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. And there you can visit with the Awake Radio people in their chat room, or the Shaziz Radio people in their chat room, or both. So, with that said, stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science. Turn it up. We'll be right back.
name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
To lead a happiness to be. Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. We were talking about Millennium Falcons there, right, Thomas?
Greebly.
Greebly's.
I was talking about how the Millennium Falcon model, how much, you know, how terrible it would have looked without Greebly's, which the Greebly's basically all they did was they took a whole bunch of different models when they were building those Millennium Falcon models for the movie set, and they stole little pieces here and little pieces there from these things. I mean, they've got a whole list. You can look online. You can see, like, certain Jeep models and whatnot. They take, like, the hubcaps from them and stuff like that, and they're gluing them all over the surface of this little model spaceship that they made from scratch. And that's how they got the really sci-fi looking feel to it, you know, little wires and pipes and stuff. And this is all stuff that came off of, like, you know, motor heads and stuff like that inside little plastic models, you know.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
That's the same with Greebly. It's something that looks cool, looks like it has the function, doesn't necessarily have to. It can, you know, be there for decoration. That's all it really is, you know. It makes it feel, and it's the thing, and like I said before, depression, number one disease out there that's stopping the world from doing anything about their situation. Something as simple as a Greebly on the surface, running across the surface of an object, can change the mood of it for the person who's watching it, looking at it.
Yeah, so, you know, for those folks out there that don't understand what it is we're talking about here, we were talking about building a mad science laboratory where we could all come together and work on projects, but at the same sense, build it in a sci-fi-looking spaceship kind of episode deal to where, you know, you could tune in every week to see your favorite researchers doing some work in space and stuff, man. Pretty cool. I like that idea.
Like I said, it'd be like Big Brother. Instead of a bunch of drama queens, we'd have a bunch of scientists actually working on real research.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could all get together at your place and decorate it in one weekend.
That'd be cool.
Well, and I'd say we should probably plan on doing this in a lot of different places.
Just a bunch of cardboard,
you know, paint. Got a week off. Everybody else, you know, organized to take their week off, and, you know, we end up showing up at a different place each time, you know, like the Olympics, move it from one place to the next each year.
Well, I'll give you guys a free run of my lab to greebly it all you want.
Greebly out the outside of my geodesic dome.
Well, that's another thing, too.
He wants to see some ideas for how the interior of a place could be made to look, look and feel better. For scientific research, just do a Google image search for building sets for Stargate Universe.
How hard would it be, and how expensive would it be to build a huge geodesic dome out there on, let's say, an entire acre of land?
Well, because all of the parts, there's how many different parts? There's what, like, the most complex one has five different lengths of wood, right?
No, six.
Six?
That's a B6.
So yeah. That means basically you just have to build a bunch of, or cut a bunch of boards into six different lengths.
Yeah,
you don't have to have 10 million different lengths to make a single object.
You got to start dividing up all the triangles and, into more spots and putting more studs across them.
Right, it's a pattern thing, though. Once you get started, you know, it's just basically, what do they say for knitting? Knit purl 1, knit purl 2, knit purl 3, or some nonsense like that. Gets the job done. When they're done, they're, you know, they have something they
knit can use. Knit 1, purl 2. And don't ask me how I know that.
How many of those knitting needles have you been smacked with?
Well, a long time ago, I was sitting over at my aunt's house, and I was bored. And I was sitting there watching her. She was sitting there knitting a blanket or something like that. And she saw me looking over there at her. She says, "You want me to show you how to do that?" And I said, "No, man, that's a lady's stuff there, you know." She said, "No, it ain't." So she gave me a piece of thread or yarn and showing me how to do it. So I get this crazy idea. I'm going to build this blanket, right? Okay, so I started doing this blanket. And I got this thing that was like 6 feet long, about 3 feet wide, and I got tired of doing it. So I just said, "Oh, heck with it." So I wrapped it up and gave it to my mom, called it one of those things that you wrap around, you call a shawl or something like that. So I said, "Hey, Mom." I never did finish the, it was going to be a really big blanket when it was all done, but man, there's only so much you can do. I'm lucky I held on to my man card over that whole deal. Anyway, that's secret. Don't tell nobody about that.
Mr. Thomas, just the ones have any length that you want. If you use 9 foot 2x4s, you wind up with a 13¾ foot. In other words, 13 foot 9 inch diameter. If you go down to like 8, it's like 12. But that's all with just one, and it's a pretty neat looking deal. But when you get into the V2. Instead of having just 12 boards, you wind up with 30 shorter lengths and 35 longer lengths, and that's it. And you wind up cutting that out like 10-foot pieces of electrical conduit. The shorter ones would be like 4 foot, 6.5 inches, and the longer ones would be 5 foot, 1.5 inches, approximately, or 61.5 inches. And that's a lot of assembly, and it gets even more complicated. But the V1, you can put you by yourself could put one up in less than an hour, which is pretty cool.
Well, I think what would be
pretty much all day. When you get into them bigger ones, man, you're looking at pretty much 1,000 different lengths, and it gets expensive.
I think what would be even cooler than that is if we put the word out. If I put the word out around here that I want people's old junk appliances, I'll have my whole yard filled up with them. So,
I think the coolest ones are the star domes rather than the geodesic star domes. They only take 10 pieces of, you know, real long bamboo, or you can even splice them together.
You just mopped right over what I was trying to tell you, Muddy.
I'm sorry.
As if I put the word out, I can get a whole bunch of people's old appliances and stuff. Old hot water heaters and toasters and junk of all different size and shape. And I could fill my yard up with it. So we could
like
take all this junk, and build something useful out of it, man. Start building our ship with old hot water heaters and stuff.
Right.
What do you think?
I don't know where it is. I don't know where the website is, but they've got a museum. It's an outside museum where people just bring all the junk and the welders artistically weld it all together. And there's different floors and decks and all that stuff. It's in Florida somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like what I'm talking about, except ours would be more towards, like a spaceship kind of cool, man, you know?
Yeah.
And who knows? After we get all our technology together, we might even get that thing to float, man.
strap it to
a big old blimp like the Hindenburg or something like that.
Right.
What do you think? Then we can fly across the continent all the way down to the Antarctic and find out if the Earth is truly flat or not. What do you think?
What'd you call that? Thomas Greebles, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of that Millennium Falcon, they took the chrome model parts, and after they took all the parts off, they kept that little matrix of stems, and they broke some of those off to make some of that pipe work and stuff.
I wonder how many people were actually paying attention to when they watched Star Wars to seeing, hey, man, that's an old 57 Chevy hubcap right there.
I'm telling you, the term for that thing you're talking about, those little pieces of wire that run in between the parts in the model, are called the model's tree.
Tree, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they call it the same thing on jewelry.
Yep.
In between all the pieces of jewelry,
it's done the same way.
Also, we're going to need somebody who can
use it in there.
We're also going to need somebody who can print out some little flashy light panels, you know, because every spaceship's got to have flashy light panels.
Yep.
Right.
But, excuse me, my coffee went down the wrong lung.
Yeah. It's supposed to go down the other lung?
Yeah. So, anyway... the key to this whole deal would be that it would be fun for people to go in there and actually do some experiments, you know. And we'd probably get researchers from all over the place just to come over there to check out the lab, if nothing else, just to see the setup, but actually do some experiments when they get there, you know. And
this is the thing, is you do it right, it won't take more than 10 or 15 minutes before you forget you're in a house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it'll feel like you just stepped right off through a TV screen or a movie screen onto the ship of one of those starships that you normally see on whatever your favorite sci-fi movie is that, you know, you like to watch.
Well, that'd be a blast, man. We could do all kinds of research in there. And
yep.
You ever seen that TV series called Ascension?
No.
Oh, that thing's amazing. It's basically based on, there was this secret government NASA program that basically sent, right after the moon shot, they sent another long range that was going to take them 100 years to get there.
Oh, yeah, don't give away, don't be going and giving those spoilers.
Yeah, you got to watch it.
Star.
It was really good, man. It'll blow you away at some point. Anyway, yeah, that would be cool. Go out there, Google up the deal called Ascension, and watch the series. It's like what, 8 or 13 episodes or something like that.
I'm not even sure. I don't remember.
Might be only be 6. I don't know. But either way, it's a really good little series. There, it's pretty cool. I wish they'd add to it. But. Anyway, so while we were in this nifty spaceship style deal doing research, we could actually, you know, really have, you know, some really valuable things come out of it, you know, graphene technologies and, you know, crystal batteries, different things that we find that, and we could actually have episodes that would issue solving, you know. We need to light this sector up over here. Our power is down or something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
put a researcher on it. Yeah, your job is to light this thing up with as least amount of energy as possible so that you're not draining our battery and we fall out of the sky, kind of thing.
Even if the light comes from across the room focused with lenses.
And we got to have somebody with one of those either Irish or Scottish accents to come in here and say, we're breaking up, Captain, you know. Pushing it and giving it all I can.
We cannot do that, Captain. We're going to get sued.
Oh, man. That would be so much fun, man. I'll tell you what. Yeah, and if you enjoy the work you're doing, you're probably more than likely going to do really good work. You know, it'd just be, wouldn't even be a job, it'd be fun. So,
get ideas as you go.
Yep.
I'll say a job that you really enjoy doing isn't a job, it's called a hobby.
Yeah. So, I want to continue my plasma research, which, you know, there could be a whole lot of neon neon and...
Well, the idea is...
All the noble gases!
So they have different sections for specific areas of research, so you're going to have, like, a Faraday cage and whatnot built into a whole room and the equipment you need in there to do high-voltage research.
Yeah.
Know?
Exactly.
And that's what we want to take all that to work on that stuff.
Well, building Faraday cage is going to be easy as getting a hold of some chicken wire and embedding it into the wall. So I can do that.
We could probably come up with a better looking way to do it though than that.
Well, whatever it takes, man. You know, aluminum tape or just something. So if you come in here and check my section of the lab and I look like a baked potato, you know not to go in there.
Hey, you know, though, that'll drive the ratings for that, whatever that video channel that's being broadcast on through the roof. Tune in this week and see if Shaziz fries himself when he's doing it.
Yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to trying to get that started, man. But there, like I said, there's all kinds of potential there. But back on the mad science alternative energy stuff, there's a lot of technology out there that you know, people either forgot about or just don't know about that has been around for a long time.
And that's another thing you could be doing too, is just, you got those viewers' attention, show them that stuff that's been lost and show them how it's done.
Yeah.
And, you know?
You know, there's a guy out there, Photo Induction. I love this guy's videos, man. He does all kinds of stuff. And they just put...
Photonic Induction.
Okay, well, he took a one of those little get-around scooter deals, and instead of running it off at 24 volts, they put it up to 60 volts, and then at one point, they actually took it up to 70 volts. And he's flying back and forth in this video on this little scooter thing. I was thinking he's going to wipe out for too long, but he eventually ended up burning up the motor. But they took that thing to its max potential, and so he had a little electric scooter. I think I commented on his video to build one of those for Granny, you know. But anyway, he somehow or another came across the mercury arc rectifier he's got over there, man. And I don't know where he finds his stuff, but he ends up coming up with some really cool stuff. He gets some I think he works at electricity company or something over there, because he gets some really cool stuff. But love to get one of them mercury arc rectifiers.
Watch it blow stuff up.
Yeah. So anyway, that's pretty much what we're working on there. You know, there's all kinds of different stuff out there. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You can get all the free energy you want out there. You know, I keep having to argue with people over the definition of free energy. There ain't no such thing as free energy. Oh. Huh? Even,
Can you hear Pepsi free?
Yeah, you can't have it for free. You gotta pay. That was Back to the Future, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, but there's things that already exist that, in worst case scenario, you can build a generator out of. And if you do a few modifications here and there, you could actually get that to supplement your doggone electric bill. I mean, heck, those Fisher and Paykel or the Samsung models of the direct drive motors, already all you got to do is throw a prop on there. Buddy could show you how to carve up a prop out of an old 2x4. There you go, man. You got a ready-built windmill, you know. And I've taken in that Free Thinker video, if you happen to look at it, you'll notice that there's box fan blades on those little motors that are turning them. So, there you, right there. You know, cordless drill motors have permanent magnets in them. It's a little ready-built generator. Are you going to run your entire house off of it? No. Once again, no. It ain't about running your entire house about it. It's about throwing those pennies into the pond and getting them to actually add to the energy potential. You're moving energy from point A to point B is all you're doing. Don't matter how it gets there. This matters that it gets there. If you got an Olympic-sized swimming pool that's only half full, and it always remains half full, then everything below that is going to continue to run until that Olympic-sized swimming pool goes empty. And if you can't dump wind power and solar power and thermal and crystal batteries and earth batteries and all the different things that are going on in nature, if you can't dump enough energy into that Olympic-sized swimming pool to keep it half full, then you ain't trying. Period. It's as simple as that. So, go check out my video and subscribe over there. The link's in the chat room. And you'll see what I'm talking about whenever I'm cranking that little hand charger deal. I actually used a couple phone chargers. The little hand cranking one itself is a phone charger. The one that I used to connect to the capacitor was a phone charger being run backwards, so it already had a built-in rectifier in it. And so basically I just plugged one into the other one and hooked it up to a capacitor and sat there and cranked on it until I charged that entire system up. And you can see after I stopped turning, it's still running. Will it run forever? No, you got to keep putting voltage into it. But the key is you don't have to constantly keep putting voltage into it. And so if you got enough water dumping into that pool from all different directions, then you don't even have to fill it up anymore. You know, and if you look out there are technologies out there that other people, and there's a lot of videos out there on YouTube about people making water wheels who live next to streams, that you take that normal pressure that the water's already got coming downhill, and you can amplify that pressure by running it down through some smaller hoses and bring that pressure up to spin little turbines. And they also have little lights that you can hook to your water faucet that when you turn your water on, it's lighting up under there so you can see to wash your hands. You can use that same kind of system down the downspouts of your gutters, build them right into the gutters of your house. When it's raining outside, you're still charging up batteries. When it's windy outside, you're charging up batteries. When it's hot outside, you're charging up batteries. So you continuously keep on charging. And if you got a capacitor bank, the capacitor technologies out there are incredible. You know, the super capacitors even the old just random capacitors that you pull off of any circuit, all these things. Like I said in the video that I got called Free Thinkers, that series, I got both AC and DC capacitors in there. So it doesn't matter where that energy comes from or what form it comes in, it's going to get captured. Static energy being collected in dead batteries. Those dead batteries, you can go over there with a measurement right now and you'll get voltage off them. You'll measure them up. And according to most standards, they're junk. And one of them's bone dry. Don't even have no battery acid in it. But yet, that entire system is still lit up. How long could you leave the dome light in your car on without running your battery dead? Anybody got an idea?
Well, I left the dome light on in my Trooper over because I parked the trailer in my Jeep over at a friend's house over there at Billy's house because I can't get up my driveway with the trailer, so I park it across the street and over a little bit behind the bushes. He's got a big field. He called me one night and It was more than a day after I had parked it over there. He said, you know, you're dumb late. I said, oh, well, yep. I'll get over there, too. And I forgot. I went over there about noontime the next day. And I shut the dome light off, sat there for a minute, let the battery try to... it was still burning pretty bright. But I turned the dome off, let the battery charge up just a little bit on its own. Turned the key, and it went... vroom! I said, wow. I'd left the solar panel off, so it went over a day and a half.
So with that said, what you think it could have lasted for 3 to 4 months?
No. Not running that dome light, but if it was a LED dome light, shoot ya. Might last a couple weeks easy.
Well, this thing, it has one of the 12-volt LED lighting systems in there. It has a 4-volt fence charging system. It has three separate battery chargers set inside of it. It has a negative ion generator attached to it, and has been running for 3 to 4 months now.
Sweet.
And all it is when the wind's blowing, it's putting juice in it. When the sun's out, it's putting juice in it. The galvanic action from the copper-coated ground rod and the galvanized ground rod is putting juice into it. Earth battery, putting juice into it. Every time that doggone fence charger pulses, it sends a jolt through there that puts juice into it. So it's continuously charging from some direction or another. Now, when I throw the crystal battery onto there as well, then eventually you'll start seeing the numbers come up on that doggone right now you go over there, you push the button on the one deal, and it will show you that the battery is at 0 volts, but yet the lights are still on. So
you got an old battery there. It only goes up to 9 volts, don't you?
I got all kinds of batteries laying around here. I don't throw away any batteries, even when they're trash and they don't want to hold a charge, because I know a few things about batteries that.
Yeah, I'll run a few low volt apps and keep on going.
Yep.
I had a battery that was basically dead. I didn't rejuvenate it or anything like that. I was running 6 volt stuff for quite a while.
Oh, nice. Radio. That's the thing. If you got a 12-volt car battery, and it's only got 1 volt that it'll hold a charge to, only one cell in the whole doggone battery's any good, it's still storage.
That's right.
It don't matter, you know. It don't have to be the whole 12 volts and the whole so many cold cranking amps. You're not going to be able to start your car with it. That's blatantly obvious. But it's still storage potential nonetheless. And that's the key. So... yeah, you save up a bunch of old DC capacitors and AC capacitors. You can store up a charge forever and a day, man. As long as there's any static energy in the air, you're going to get that. When there's wind blowing or sun or whatever's going on out there in nature, you're taking and you're trickle charging, continuously trickle charging from every direction. And the pennies add up quickly. Otherwise, that thing would have shut off after about a week, because it's got more than it should be running with the junky batteries. That should be bone dead. You shouldn't even be able to measure voltage on it. But it's not. So.
Well, Stephen Gibbon, he's over in the chat, and he said, did you see my redneck snow shovel wind turbine, buddy?
I think I did see that.
I need to check that out. That's free energy.
Yeah, I love it. Heck, man, you take and repurpose some old snow shovels into a wind turbine. That's great. That's brilliant. That's like them pond skimmers that the farmers use. Pretty much got the same kind of curved deal that sets out there and keeps the pond stirred up.
Well, I thought he was talking about making a snow shovel powered by a wind turbine. So he made a wind turbine out of a snow shovel. Now, that's cool.
With the engine.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
It's brilliant. I took those old 50-gallon plastic drums and made that redneck wind turbine. I had people cussing me out all the time. Oh, that won't work. Well, it works for me. I don't know what's your problem. But 9 times out of 10, they didn't even try it. They just said it wouldn't work. That violates the laws of physics.
You got another plastic drum out there. I tell you what, I'll show you how to make one haul when I get there.
Well, I got probably about 6 to 10 of them plastic drums out there.
Good. We'll get a doggone heat gun and the old sawzall. We'll make one that you'll be happy with for sure.
Well, see if you can get that one little ceiling fan wind generator from Raymond and try to throw a prop on that. See if how much you get out of that, the voltage wise.
I got a feeling I'll have to go up there to play with that.
don't worry about getting a lot of current watts and amps out of the deal. I don't care about that. All I'm interested in is voltage alone. I couldn't care less about the rest of it, because what I'm talking about doing doesn't require that at the stage that I'm currently at. When I get to the part where, you know, we're going to use the energy for an actual load, then we'll talk the numbers. And then the school book will apply again. But in the meantime, all I'm interested in is the voltage. Voltage is pressure, and I want to be able to move the voltage as rapidly as possible to dump into the Olympic-sized swimming pool, and then use that Olympic-sized swimming pool to feed the smaller units all the way down the line. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, you don't even have to worry about it being under a load, because it ain't even going to be under a load. It's just going to freewheel. Whatever voltage it will put when the wind's blowing is what you're going to get out. That's it. No more,
right.
No less.
Kind of like when I took the ceiling fan wind turbine and hooked it up to 12 strands of 70 LEDs.
Yeah,
It would get dimmer and it'd get brighter and it'd get dimmer and it'd get brighter. Drove my wife nuts for about 6 months.
If you would have put a capacitor bank in between there, you would have stored enough energy that it would level that out. It wouldn't get dimmer and brighter. Until the capacitors drain completely down. But if you got a larger capacitor, you know, you try it. Get you a DC capacitor and hook an LED to it. Charge that capacitor up while it's under a load. Charge it up and then sit there and see how long it takes that LED to drain that capacitor down. You'll notice it'll run just like a battery.
I was using a direct AC office, not turning it to DC though.
Yep.
So, I mean, what I did is take the start and the finish of the two sets of coils, one start and one finish. I twisted those together, and then I took the output from the finish and the start of the other, you know, the other two terminals. And I was basically just run that right into the end of the plug. And one day it got windy, and I saw it get up to right about 140 volts, and I started worried about blowing LEDs, man. So I plugged my laptop into the end of the doggone Christmas light strand, and that brought it down to about 125, and I was quite happy with that, to keep it from blowing the lights.
You know what would be cool? Since you guys got people out there got the printable 3D printers, is to actually wind a motor, and as you're winding the motor with the copper wire all the way through this entire winding, that you put LEDs like every so many inches around there, so that whenever it's all said and done, when the winding's all complete, you have basically a generator, a motor that whenever you're running it, it will light itself up. What do you think?
I don't know if it light itself up. You still got to have.
I'm not saying it is going. I'm saying when you put the power to it, while it's spinning and that magnetic field's going around there and there's current flowing through there, all you have to have is electron flow and those LEDs are going to light. They use them for indicator lights and circuits all the time.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so you got one massive amount of indicator lights on one electric motor. I just think it'd look cool.
Well, you know,
thumbs down.
Yeah.
You know, stepper motors work, right?
You got
six or four wires coming out the end, and you can put an LED one direction and put another LED the other direction on the same two wires and any combination thereof. If you go ahead and mount the shaft and then connect the blades to the motor part, and run the wires out on the blades and put your LEDs out there, it makes some pretty cool blinking circles.
Yep. Well, I can see there could be all kinds of potentials on, like on your wind generators, where you actually got the prop dragging a couple brushes across the face of a rotor there that will be lighting up when that prop's spinning. The faster it spins, the brighter it gets.
Yeah, an external commutator. Matter of fact, you could probably make a commutator out of a bunch of brass tacks where you can have that thing spell out some words.
Yeah. Gets a big old bullseye, multicolored bullseye, yeah, right in the center of that doggone prop. Hey, it'd be neat. Doggone, they've been doing it for years. You see the little toys that you go when you go to the circus? The little kids get these little spinning toys and they light up when they spin. Heck, they even got yo-yos that do it, man.
Heck, I got a battery-operated fan that lights up LEDs on the blades.
I was gonna say, are you gonna have it spell out as it's spinning around? Know your place, shut your face.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Put the words there. You're getting dizzy.
But I want one that says there's no such thing as free electricity while it's running itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
I took that thing and I mounted it down. And I put it outside when it was windy, and the thing lit up nicely.
Anyway, look, there's so many different ideas and potential. We could talk about this for days, man. We have talked about it for days. Now, I'm not talking about trying to defy the laws of physics. I'm not even looking for 0 point or over unity, which I believe is fully possible. All right, I'm not even going to go there. And I'm not trying to defy the laws of physics, so I'm not even trying to, you know, make anybody mad or anything like that. People say it can't work, and
you
haven't tried.
You don't have to
try. Yeah, if they say it can't work, yeah, no, I seem to be able to make people mad without even any effort whatsoever. But when people come to you and you show them something, and all they can do is pick it apart, well, that's inefficient, and that won't work because. But the question that I have to then ask them is, have you tried it yet? Or are you overthinking the simple of what it is that I'm trying to show you? If I'm just showing you a radiant energy circuit that shows that you can actually charge up a capacitor or even use an LED to hold up in the sunlight to get voltage on there, it doesn't matter to me whether it's millivolts or megavolts. It don't matter. The same thing is, there's energy going on there. There is something happening there that is worth adding to the pile there. If it's moving energy in any form, fashion, whether it be heat, light, or wind, mechanical, or even solid state for that matter, don't matter, as long as it's doing something. You know, the Slayer Exciter, I've seen them things run on as low as 3 volts all the way up to over 100 volts, and they will pulse a really massive field out there. Saw a video just the other day where this guy took his remote control for his car that usually unlocks the doors and turns the alarm on and off. And he shows how far away that you can get from that magnetic field, from that car, before the doggone thing will be out of range and the remote control won't work anymore. And then he said, have you ever noticed how there were, like you go to used car lot and you watch these guys go out there to get these cars or whatever, and you see them taking this remote and sticking it up underneath their chin and pushing the button and looking around the lot and seeing which one of the cars lights up so they could find it? He said, what's going on there is they're using the water that's in their head to amplify that magnetic field that's coming off of that doggone remote so that they can extend the range of that remote. And he said, so that you can see that I'm not joking with you, he took a glass of water, he walked down, found the edge of where that remote could go. He took a jug of water, he stepped back 5 feet, where this thing was completely out of range, would not work, would not turn the remote on, put it on the other side of that water, and hit the button, and doggone thing unlocked the doors. So there is an effect going on there where that water was actually amplifying that magnetic field to at least, at the very least, extend the range 5 feet back. So you got 5 feet more out of what you would have normally had. So to me, that 5 feet more is worthy of keeping an eye on that effect right there. So you take all the effects from all the different alternative energy devices out there, you put all those together into one unit that would self-contain, using everything that you know, from amplification of voltage to amplification of the magnetic field. Imagine a Tesla coil that had a water jacket inside of it, you know? So if it's pulsing a magnetic field, and the water has the effect to amplify that magnetic field, you should be able to extend the range to some extent, even if it's only an inch or something, you know?
Right.
It makes it more efficient than it was before. This is what I've been talking about all along. And on my YouTube channel, I show all these different little gizmos, all these different little ideas, and the very first thing that comes out of the educated's mouth is that, oh, well, that's not going to run my house. Of course it ain't going to run your house, fool. But if you had a couple million of these things, you might be able to run your house.
Or if you got a battery storage, it'll run your house for a little while.
Yeah. So if you run your house for an hour out of the day, that's an hour or less that you had to pay the man. That's all I've been saying.
Stephen Gibbons says, people who say it cannot be done should not interrupt those who are doing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm sitting here showing them all these things, and they're giving me all the excuses and all the reasons why you can't do this. You know, all the way down to I ain't got time.
Be very careful with people who make lots of excuses. When you remove all their excuses, what ends up happening is they get angry at you.
Well, that could be very well why they cuss me out all the time, because when I get there and I will sit there and write down in graphic detail what it is that I'm trying to explain to them, and then I'll get to the point where just they don't want to try to, you know, defend their argument anymore. They'll drop the bleep button on me and run off. You know? It's like showing somebody the true holy grail of free energy and them giving you the finger and they take off. You know what I mean?
How dare you?
How dare you give me free electricity? Doggone it. Look, we got amazing alloys out there. We got amazing technology. We got brilliant individuals like Robert Murray Smith doing the graphene technology. Got guys out there doing crystal batteries, muddy actual flux wind turbines. Thomas has got a vast amount of research and the work that he does. I mean, if anything else, he's going to make it look good. All right, so you take all these talents and you put them together in a lab such as what we're talking about, and you got one heck of a show. And I agree with you. I believe the ratings would go up on whatever channel that was on. Now, I don't care who does it, just as long as somebody does it. Because I'll subscribe.
Like Robert Murray Smith in here talking about that 20 megafarad capacitor the size of a business card.
Well, I'd love to have one. And I'm still wanting to build the 50-gallon drum capacitor, the one that everybody tells me that I'm insane for wanting to build. You're going to kill yourself with that. You're going to get a lightning bolt to the face.
You put a doggone bunch of graphene into that.
Oh, yeah. Heck, if you built it with the graphene technology and the crystal battery technology where it sat there and self-charged. Because what's going on with those crystal batteries is, while the crystals are growing, they're putting pressure on that magnesium, which is turning around and releasing energy. It's working almost like the piezoelectric effect that you get from the doggone little speakers, you know. Take a piezoelectric speaker or a buzzer or something like that and hook it to a voltmeter and tap on it or bend it, flex it, and you'll see that it produces a voltage. So with those crystal batteries, it's doing the same thing. The pressure is causing it to release, and the pressure keeps building enough to the extent where it finally rips the housing in half. And I think the only reason why John Hutchinson's has lasted so long is because he's used some, like, big old heavy-duty steel pipe to do his.
Right. And things are heavy like mortars when he's done.
Yeah, but he's got something that's been going on forever, you know, and once again, everybody's going like, well, it's only got this much voltage and the amperage is all this and that, you know. Boo-hoo, cry me a river, man. Dump that doggone tiny bit of voltage down in with the other ones. Try it sometime. Put you a bucket, dig a hole in the yard, put a bucket in there, and find you several different water sources. Just trickle them in and see how long it takes to fill that bucket in when you got multiple water sources coming in. Until the pressure builds up in that bucket to where that bucket can't hold anymore and it resists any flow, it's going to continue to fill. So if you got a giant capacitor out there and you're trickle charging that, that energy's still going in that capacitor, whether you like it or not. Can you run your house off of it until it gets to a certain point? No. But you leave it alone long enough, it'll fill up. Go over there and short that thing out, and then you'll find out what it's like to discharge a lightning bolt, man. Ain't no joke.
That's right.
It's as simple as that. So it's not how we're, you know, it's not the fact we don't have enough energy to give the world free energy. It's the fact that we're basically energy hogs. The deals you call wall warts. What's the purpose of using 120 volts AC to run something that's only 5 volts? You know?
That's right.
So, heck, they got USB chargers. There's a guy out there building these blocks that you plug in, and it's got pretty much a crystalline battery inside of it that charges the capacitor up that charges your doggone cell phones. And it charges itself. You just set it down and walk away and let it charge itself up, and then, bam, there you go. And at the very least, he just extended the life of a battery, you know. You just sit there, and it'll charge itself up. When you discharge it into your phone, charges your phone up. The pressure from the higher charge is working its way down through the circuitry, down into your battery, and charging yours up. It's the same concept of what I'm talking about, from the Olympic-sized swim pool all the way down to the bucket. All you're doing is moving energy, folks. That's it. And some of y'all was moving energy, but you done sprung a leak. You got magnetic fields outside your generators, your electric motors, your TV, your VCR, all of that's got wasted energy on it. Anything that's got a transformer, got wasted energy. We're running it over here in the United States at 60 hertz. It puts off a pretty strong field, and they actually sell a device that's called a wireless AC tester, where you can walk right up there and you can see how far that field is actually extending out your light socket. You can measure from the outside of the wire whether or not there's AC current flow going through there. So there's a waste field going on. So
I always wanted to build something that resonated at that 60 hertz and rectify the current that I get from the RF.
Yep. Well, it's all possible, all of it. And so instead of running it at 60 hertz and wasting all this energy, even if you're still running it at 60 hertz, why can't you dial it back? I mean, overseas they're doing it at 50 hertz. We're doing it at 60 hertz. Their stuff seems to last a little bit longer than ours. I don't know why. Could it have anything to do with at 50 hertz? It'd probably be a little bit less heat generated, and that doggone coil of wire ain't going to get so hot that it basically runs the coating on there. Maybe they want us running ours hotter so that they'd fail faster. You see what I'm saying? That's the only thing, the only reason why I can see it. That planned obsolescence, is that what it is, Thomas? Make sure it breaks down so you can sell more.
Yeah, just like putting a longer dog on a shorter filament on your bulb to make it burn out easier. Just a little, that thing will last a lot longer.
Well, here's something you ought to try. Get a 12 volt light bulb. But basically, ones I've found that are best are like the little trailer light bulbs that you can buy at the auto parts store. And then get you a 60 to 100 watt light bulb and set them side by side. And you can run high voltage through both of these doggone things. And at the right frequency, you can get both of these things to light up. Alright? Well, that little 12-volt trailer light bulb isn't drawing near the watts that doggone 60-watt light bulb is doing, but it's putting off nearly as enough, if not more, depending on which light bulbs you get, because I found some out there that are really bright. As a matter of fact, when I got my solar panel kit from Harbor Freight, they had the energy saver bulbs in there, and when those burn out, I just went down and got some of them trailer light bulbs and sockets and put them up in there, and I've been using them ever since. But those little things are just as bright as a 60 to 100 watt light bulb and using less energy.
Yeah, I got going through over there at Lowe's. No, it wasn't. It was Home Depot. And I started looking at the 12-volt LED bulbs for your trailers and all that. And I found a pack. They only had one demo package on the front that had the push button on it that would light them up. I said, oh, that's pretty cool. I'll leave them in the package and just use the battery that's in it. And, you know, so I bought that and went right through. They scanned it. It was the same price. No problem. And, shoot, I've been using that for, gosh, about 4 months off and on, like about maybe once or twice a week. I just use it around like a flashlight. That thing's pretty doggone bright.
Well, I'll tell
and
you
I
what.
I know the battery isn't big because I haven't located where it is in the package yet.
I tell you what, my wife bought me a flashlight for Christmas about a year or so back, and the batteries in there last a long time. But the thing about it is this doggone thing, I mean, it's so doggone bright, it'll boil the water in your brain, man. You shine that in somebody's eyes. There's a lot of light coming off that doggone thing. So, and it's only running off of like 3 volts. It's got a couple C-size batteries in there, 1.5 volts apiece. So you're running a 3-volt deal and putting out, I couldn't tell you how many lumens. I mean, that thing is bright enough, it'll give you a headache.
Yeah.
But
well, I like about them. You look around, it's just a flat wafer LEDs, you know, no focal point, no nothing like that. And it's got probably like 10 of them all the way around the stupid thing. And the price, I mean, when I try to buy the 3-watt LEDs down at, Walmart, and you get them things, they're costing you like $11 a piece. These things are more than 3 watts each. And I got 2 of them, and I think the price was like $9. So that's going to be a nice addition to the shop. I've got 4 of them, actually. 2 of the smaller ones and 2 of the bigger ones, because they had that button and battery in them.
Yeah, well, you know what? Eventually, LED technology is either going to get cheaper or it's going to disappear. And that's a simple case of that economics there, because, number one, if they figure out that these LEDs are lasting longer, and they can't sell as many, and at that price, they're not going to be able to sell as many, because there's a lot of people that when they see the price of those LED light bulbs, they walk away. They'll go buy a cheapo tungsten element.
I saw in Popular Electronics years ago, before the LEDs even started getting popular, to hook up a sensor that would light your lights up as you walk into the room, instead of wasting, you know, and then it's a little timer and then it would go out. Say you get up in the middle of the night and you have to go to the bathroom. You don't want to feel around for a light switch and stumble on stuff. Just walk in. To do that would be using electricity, kind of like that one circuit would use it, kind of like the wall warts do. They just keep using whether you're charging something up or not.
Yep.
They had these little floor tiles. As you stepped on them, they lit up.
Yeah.
And that was back then, and I thought that was pretty cool, but I never saw one personally. I don't know why they didn't hit the market. But
I don't know, but they put them in tennis shoes.
Cool. It was a chemical reaction of you stepping on it.
They put those little LED systems in kids' tennis shoes, man. So when you're running around, they light up. But either way, you know, all of this is a possibility. We've talked about wasting energy. You know, you could take that same light bulb. You could design a nifty little housing for it, surround that with a glass coating, and have it in between there heating up some water or something like that. You could actually circulate, still get the light because it's all made out of glass. But you could still run that light bulb and get the light off of it and extract that light to either heat up your bathtub or, you know, whatever. You know, everybody keeps saying You keep losing, you lose too much. You're running a 100-watt light bulb, you got too many losses. There's no way to do it. No way to do over unity. No way to do 0 point. Yet California has passed regulations that by 2017 that all their houses, even existing houses, have to be 0 point, which means they have to be self-contained. They have their own wind turbines, their own solar panels. And when they did the math, they figured out it's going to cost every single person out there who owned a house $58,000 to retrofit their house to match this. So, hey, there you go. It's not possible, though, but it's the law. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Practice what you preach, people. And if you're going out there to look for a free energy device, for Pete's sake, do not buy one. If you want to pay somebody to manufacture one because you're either too lazy to do it or you don't have the skills to do it, then that's fine. But if you're going out there to try to buy a free energy device from you, chances are you're going to get scammed. And if somebody is calling it free energy and trying to sell it to you, that's my first red flag. I'm going to give you all the free ideas that you could possibly want. And if you take the time to run with those ideas, you might even be able to find something in that process that you can patent and make yourself rich. I don't even care. If I come across an original idea and pass it on to you and you go out there and patent it and make $1 billion, as long as that information's out there to the world, I don't care. I'm not in it to get rich. I'm not in it to get famous. If I was, I failed. Miserably. Still ain't got a viral video. I figured that doggone how to properly panic during global warming would have went viral. That's so stupid. Who gets out there and runs around in their boxers in the middle of a snowstorm screaming like a banshee? Some made crazy madman, that's what. Anyway, we're down to the wire there, guys. But it's been a brilliant conversation. Been a brilliant show. And I don't know where Steve went.
I've been doing.
He went and took a nap. He bailed out on us.
Who did?
Steve. He's taking a siesta. Snooze. How do you say that in French? Anyway.
I know how to say it in Spanish.
Siesta?
Siesta all day and siesta all night.
Yeah. Mi casa, su casa. Come on over and visit. If the power grid goes down, come over to Shaziz's house. It'll be the one with the lights on.
That's right.
We'll have heat, too. And grub.
All right.
So, with that said, you've been listening to Mad Science Show. Everybody, thank you. And stay tuned. The podcast will be up right shortly, as soon as possible. And so, take care. Peace and love to everybody. We'll do the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow if you guys are around. All right. Peace.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.